morning. I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers trailed the Detroit Pistons by 9 points with less than 3 minutes left in Game 5 last night. However, the Cavs found a way to force OT and eventually win 117-113. James Harden had 30 points in the victory. The Cavs now lead the series 3-2. Game 6 from Cleveland tips off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On the diamond, the Guardians beat the Angels 4-2, completing a three-game sweep. The Guards have the day off today before hosting the start of the Ohio Cup versus the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. And speaking of the Reds, they dropped their second straight to the Washington Nationals 8-7. They'll try to avoid the sweep this afternoon. First pitch is at 12:40 over on the Fan 2. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Happy Thursday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He's Tybus. Good morning, go to hell. Tybus, how are you?
I am doing well. I am just overjoyed.
Anything happened in the last, I don't know, couple minutes?
Life is good. Yeah. You know? Life is good. It was a little down at first, but you know, you can't keep a good team down. What was my prediction for the series?
Oh, we're talking about the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
Cavs beating the Pistons there in overtime yesterday. That was a game that looked like it was almost over right there at the end of the fourth quarter.
They were cooked.
With like 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, I was like, oh, man, it's done.
They had a 9-point deficit. Yes, less than 3 minutes ago in regulation. They came back. I don't know if we call that a cavalanche, the way they came back.
Or we just call it a cavalanche, but they locked
in.
They
went on a 9-0 run to tie the game up.
They definitely locked in. I mean, Strus hit a big three. Mobley hit a big three. I was like, what is going on?
How about that play that Strus had where
he stripped it? He stripped it in the overtime?
He stole it and then hit. Because that was right after Spider hit the three.
Yeah, it took him five quarters to hit a three.
Yeah, which was, I mean, I didn't. If you told me before this game that Donovan Mitchell would not have a 3-pointer go in regulation, I would say I would be suspicious why you said in regulation. But then otherwise, I'd be like, oh, they're losing that game because that just seems like not a formula to win for the Cavs. But he got a three, and then Strus stole it and. Donovan Mitchell cut right back to the basket, got another feed. Yep. That was a quick 5 points that helped.
Thing is, even after that, I still wasn't like the game's over.
There it is. We're watching the highlight right now.
It still wasn't over because,
no, of course not.
I believe after that, I want to say, Kay hit an and one.
He did. And we're watching it. That also happened. It's like yes, it was a back and forth type of thing, but. I'll say this. There's two stories to this game. One is the Cavs are resilient. Two is Cade Cunningham needs to knock it off the turnovers if he wants his team to win. Because that was he was fantastic in almost every other statistical space.
39 points.
Yeah, he almost had another triple-double. He had like 7 rebounds, 9 assists, but some key turnovers in this game. And look, if you're a Cavs fan, you're going to credit that to like the Cavs' great defense. If you're a Pistons fan, you're going to credit that to Cade Cunningham has problems turning the ball over, and he did yet again. But either way, who cares? Cavs are now up 3-2 in the series. They can close it out at home. What is game 6 on? Is that tomorrow night?
Tomorrow at 7.
Okay.
How about James Harden's luck turning around? He had 30, but if you saw they were up 3 in overtime. He misses a free throw, and the ball just goes right to him.
He gets fouled again and split him again. He split him twice.
Like imagine if he misses that free throw.
Sure.
The ball doesn't go right to him. Pistons tie it up and like win it in double overtime, and we still have the same narrative about James Harden. But instead, this morning he could wake up and say, maybe the tide's changing when it comes to his playoff fortune.
Yeah, maybe. And you know what? He honestly wasn't bad at the line. He just had some big misses down the stretch. He was 11 of 14 at the stripe, but... Yeah, that was those misses down the stretch could have come back to haunt them, but they didn't.
And the Cavs are one win away from Donovan Mitchell saying, I finally in my career made it past the second round of the playoffs.
Which is crazy in its own right.
It's unbelievable, actually.
It's crazy in its own right that that's never happened for him. But, yeah, then you have, like, again, I think the narrative on James Harden, too, from some people, I'm sure there will be some Cavs fans will be like, oh, see, this is what we thought we were getting. And it's like, let's actually see them do it. Get to the conference finals, and then let's see what he does there. Because, again, the notoriety for James Harden is that when the big games happen, he doesn't show up. When Game 7 specifically happens, if you get to one of those, he doesn't show up. Now, maybe the way to avoid that is just to not get to a Game 7. And Cavs seem like they are on their way to doing that if they can close out the Pistons. But I wouldn't put it past the Pistons to come back and tie the series up in Cleveland. This is a very good team. This is a very good playoff series. And I'll tell you what, I think that entire Cavs organization, when they saw the fact that their former coach could be the one getting it over on them when they went down 2-0, I think everybody there said it was time to decide if you're going to actually show up and play or if you're going to just pack it in. And they at least have showed up and responded.
If JB wins this series, it's a fireable offense from top to bottom.
Wow, that's quite a turn to go from like where the guy was like going to do it to his old team and get to the conference finals and all of that to now it's like, yeah, it's a fireable offense if you lose this series.
Because if I'm Dan Gilbert, you told me, Kobe, that this guy wasn't good enough.
Mm, that's true.
You told me we got to move on because this guy can't.
Oh, you're saying that the Cavs would have lost this series, yeah, or if they lose this series?
If
they still lose. Okay, yeah, I thought you were saying if the Pistons lose, now you got to fire him.
They extended him.
I was going to say, you can't do that.
No, I'm talking about the Cavs. If the Cavs lost this series to JB Bickerstaff,
okay,
Dan Gilbert, I would look at Kobe and say, you told me this guy wasn't good enough to take us far in the playoffs, and he just beat us. The guy who y'all wanted to go get. That to me, like...
This is your guy?
Yeah.
This is your boy right here?
This your boy?
Yeah.
Point to him.
Kenny Atkinson over me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what J.B. Bickerstaff would be saying.
It's not over, man. I mean, like, if I'm anybody associated with the Cavs right now, I'm trying to just stay level, get through game six, avoid a game seven. And then go from there.
This series winner just has the right to lose to the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That does seem a little...
It's unbelievable that the Knicks and OKC just sitting back, twiddling their thumbs, getting all the rest.
But that's the age-old question in the playoffs. Is that better or not? In every sport, we go through this, where it's like, is it better for your guys to sit there resting,
OKC will be okay.
They're different. The Knicks are the ones I'm talking about. Like, I'm actually thinking, like, if this did go to seven and the Cavs won it, whoever comes out of a game seven, that might be just long enough of a layoff that the Knicks are kind of like, all right. I mean, because they will have had close to a week off by that point, if not more.
Yeah, I think the Spurs.
They closed it out on Saturday,
Spurs,
right?
And Cleveland. Well, the Spurs can close it out tonight.
No, I'm saying the Knicks. Didn't they close it out last weekend? Yeah, I'm saying, like, if you take this to seven, you're going to be looking at a week and a half. I'm sure
they better not take it to set. Both games is this Friday. The Pistons, Cavs, and Spurs and Timberwolves. They both better try to close it out.
To your point, Tyvus, are for sure rooting for the Cavs so they are not as rusty. And Jared Allen is scared of Mitchell Robinson. So there's that as well.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny because it's true.
I will say I'm pretty sure the playoff bracket is set. Like, game one of the final of like Eastern Conference Finals.
Regardless,
I don't think it starts based on whenever you finish. I think they have. I could be wrong
to an extent, but at this point, you're probably right. It probably doesn't matter.
I'm saying like game six, game seven, it probably doesn't matter. The only thing is, at this point, would the Knicks want, like, if the Cavs get done and they have like 4 days off, then you know what I mean. Then that gives both teams a little bit of time to rest up.
Do they do that?
I thought they like roll them. Like,
I know, but I don't
like maybe like, 2 days think, and then roll it.
No, game one. Or game sevens, the game sevens are scheduled for Sunday regardless.
Right.
So it's not like they're going to do game one on Sunday if these series end.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't think they're not putting any games on, like, Monday. I don't think it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm pretty sure there's a schedule of when the Eastern Conference Finals start.
On Tuesday or Wednesday, though.
Well, yeah. I would prefer them all to be on Friday or Saturday so I can actually stay up with guilt-free. That's the only thing I don't like about doing mornings is the fact that there's this time of year, there's so much great playoff hockey, playoff basketball, and they're all are games that are later in the evening. And if I want to stay up and watch them fully and not feel guilty, it's, I can stay up and watch them, but I know I'm going to pay for it in the morning. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Friday night, like tomorrow night.
It's them 8 o'clock tip-offs. When it's 7.
7's fine.
7, you can, it's about 9:45-ish. That game going to go up, maybe 10. And you can get by with that.
Yeah.
But when it's that 8 o'clock, boy, I mean, like, this is tough.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But that's all right. That's a problem that we'll figure out. And you know what? I can go on a few hours of sleep and enjoy some good I'm just saying, like, I'll stay up for the Cavs, but random NHL games that could be awesome, random NBA playoff games that could be awesome, I am less likely to stay up and watch now because I know, like, I'm going to pay for it the next morning.
It's clearly that Dylan didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Oh, yeah, Dylan, we saw the poll question went up, which is great, very early. If you would like to go vote in the fan poll question brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub, you can go vote for it at Dylan G Radio on Twitter.
Did I tweet it from my own account? Yes.
Oops.
That's okay. By the way, we were completely wrong about the game one starts. They are contingent on whether they
are they really
or not. So the Western Conference Finals can start either May 18th or May 20th, depending if the semifinal goes to 7, and then the East is May 17th or May 19th.
Okay. It's a couple days. I'm just saying, like, if the Cavs had also swept the Pistons, it wouldn't be like, I don't think they would be starting them like now. You know what I mean? I think they would have given everybody time. They wouldn't want the conference finals in one conference to be going and the other conferences like still going through their second round playoffs. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that would happen, but all right. Well, good to know. Coming back, we got a big update on the uniforms for the Buckeyes. We saw that with the black uniforms, the stripes are back. Probably saw it yesterday. It's here to stay. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good Thursday morning to you. Right now, we are seeing our first crash of our morning commute. It's happening as you're heading downtown and really towards that east side. A crash on 71 southbound, that ramp to 70 east. That right lane is currently blocked. When we look at it with our traffic cam by that 71 and 70 split by Parsons Avenue, we can see some slowdowns, delays, and backups just slightly for you this morning. Again, an active scene, flashing lights out in the distance. Go slow and take your time. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your...
Good news. Jack has personally invited the Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a quiet start to the day with a chilly temperature in the 30s and 40s, and then for this afternoon, partly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s. For tonight, another chilly evening with lows down into the 30s and 40s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with temperatures a little bit warmer getting into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, 1 hour, not even 1 hour, 43 minutes from now, we're going to be doing the list. Today's list. Top five NFL quarterbacks currently in the league.
Top five.
I'm debating on if we start with like 1, 2, and 3, because I feel like those are going to be, the order's going to be off or whatever, but we could all kind of agree who I think the top three are, maybe even top four. I don't know, but I'm saying like, I feel like.
I don't know either.
I feel like, but okay. But
unless
like,
you tell me is some order, any order of Burrow, Mahomes, and Stafford, then I don't.
You see, we're not going to.
See?
Oh, okay. That's fine. I'm just saying I think it's going to be more contentious around 4 and 5, don't you?
Well, I think 2 years ago it was like no doubt top four of like Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow. And between injury and I think Patrick Mahomes has fallen off a little bit, to be honest. I feel like it's not clear cut who those top three or four quarterbacks are anymore. Stafford won the MVP. I feel like there's people that wouldn't play him in the top five.
You don't even got him in your top five.
I never said that. And I was a Stafford stan this whole NFL season. I was practically a Rams fan last year just because I had a Super Bowl ticket at plus 3,000 for them to win the Super Bowl.
I'm actually interested to hear your list because I want to see where you place Mahomes. Because if you don't put Mahomes at one, I mean, I can respect it. I just need to know who number one is. That's where we're going to be at with that conversation.
Yeah, I think it's also going to depend on how much you weigh career versus current.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because there is a part of me that with Pat Mahomes, I'm like, yeah, he hasn't looked good the last couple of years, and there have been injuries and things like that. However, he is still Pat Mahomes, and I still believe he was
in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, now he's coming off a torn ACL and not making the playoffs.
Like, how much are we projecting forward for, but he wasn't great last year and tore his ACL, and now he's got to recover from all that, and will he be the same guy? This is why we'll do the segment. 7 a.m., the list. You can tweet us yours at Bone and Tyvus 971 or hop in the Always Lively YouTube chat, and you can chat with us there as well.
Speaking of the YouTube chat, Rusty just asked me, Dylan, is Baker Mayfield going to be in your top five? Tune in at 7 and find out.
I'm going to go ahead and say no. That's just going to be a quick.
Real quick, though, did you guys see the end of the Reds game?
No, what happened?
They were in extra innings. It was 8-6, and rookie sensation Spencer Steer hits a bomb that looks like it's going to hit the top of the wall. A fan reaches over and catches it. They call fan interference and rule him out, and then the Reds ended up losing.
That is some junk right there. And that was down at Great American, right?
Yes.
I believe that was home game. Yeah. That sucks.
That's some epic stuff right there.
I need to go look at it. Well,
I'll send it to you on Twitter.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like,
man, that hurt. I ain't gonna lie.
I know that it's tough when you're a fan and you see that you finally have your chance to get a home run ball or a foul ball or things like that. But it has to actually clear whatever the barricade is that keeps you from the playing surface. And like when you have fans that reach over and do that in foul territory and fair territory, like. It's just if it comes to you when you're actually sitting in your seat, fine. But when you're leaning, reaching, all that, I need to see how bad of a reach it was.
The greatest fan interaction was it the World Series where the guy hit the ball and the fan like held the guy in the outfield up and like ripped the ball out of his glove?
What? Oh, you're talking about Yankees Dodgers a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys got kicked out. got banned for life.
I forgot all about that.
Ripped the good ball out of his glove, the fan did. And I was like, yeah, he understood the assignment.
he did. He was 100% like just doing that to be a jerk. I'll be polite.
No, the greatest fan interference is that one, I think it was the ALDS or the ALCS, where Jeter was essentially given a home run by the fan for reaching over.
Yeah, Yankees fan. It was a kid too, right? Wasn't it like a 9-year-old or something? Like it wasn't like a grown man doing it. And the kid, it felt more like, can you blame the kid? Did it's just a bad look.
That was like the start of the Yankees dynasty and Derek Jeter's popularity. And if they make the right call and call fan interference, like who knows how history changes.
Yeah, that's true too. Did you see did you see this on Twitter? We'll actually get to some real things in a second. But did you see the ball kid for the A's diving in front of I don't know how old this clip is, honestly, because it says it's in Oakland, but I'm like, it couldn't have been from this year because it's definitely not from this year. But there's a clip of a ball kid like laying out fully and diving to get a foul ball that's going right for the bullpen, because in the old ballpark, the bullpen is sitting on the field. They're not like one of those. And he full out like gets dirt on his uniform. That's a play that I think it's not the same as fan interference. Obviously, it's allowed because it was a foul ball. But like it's one of those plays that I think anybody who's ever not been a pro ball player would love to be able to make, just like have a chance to go dive on the field to get a ball. But anyway, this cannot be a play from recently. It just got tweeted out yesterday. It was making the rounds, and it's clearly from a few years
Sounds
ago.
Like we need to retweet Tyler Danberg's ball boy interference from the Guardians game if we're trying to recirculate.
I feel so bad. I didn't know Tyler did that. Now you're sideline voice for Ohio State football. Women's basketball voice, baseball voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He, was a Guardians, or I don't even know if it was back when it was the Indians. Either way, he was a ball kid, and yes, he had an interference where it was a fair ball, and he just, you know,
he just picked it up. Yeah,
yeah, because he thought it went foul. So it happens. Happens to the best of us.
I mean, I'm looking at the play now, Dylan.
The Reds play.
Yeah, I mean, it was gonna hit off the back of the wall.
Yeah, but that's at least a double turned into an out.
Yeah, right. Probably it's clearly not a. It doesn't sound like it was a home run, but still. That's it. Who knows? It was a tight game. They ended up losing 8-7. I think when that happened, it was 8-6, right?
Right.
So, okay. Well, we'll find out. Good news with the Ohio State uniform situation. We thought this was the case when they announced the black uniforms were going to have the heritage stripe, as they're calling it, the gray sleeves, basically. They now have shown off that the scarlet and white, essentially, I would call them scarlet and grays, but you know what I mean. The home jersey, the away jersey, they all are going to have this.
Scarlet gray. And silver, it looks like.
Well, yeah, it's not a gray like it used to be. Yeah. They've upgraded to like a silvery material, which does even more closely match the helmet. And as a uniform nerd, I love that. I think that's great. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that if you didn't have NIL, maybe you don't see this change made. But Ohio State is looking for every possible dollar and cent they can find to be the number one school in the country when it comes to football. The amount of revenue they get from jersey sales, I'm sure, is not nothing. And I'm guessing that you are going to sell probably a billion of these jerseys, conservatively speaking. Like, everybody's going to want these jerseys.
For sure.
And even the people who are like, I don't really care, but they're going to say, I need to get the newest jersey. Like, I have to get the upgrade because your old jersey now will look outdated. Anything you bought in the last 20 years, it'll look dated.
It depends on how much of a fanatic you are.
I think most Buckeye fans would be able to tell very quickly on
where that. Where are we at with jerseys, with Buckeye jerseys? Are we still buying like a current player? Like if you was to buy a jersey today, are you buying a current player or are you buying the blank jersey?
Me personally, as a 43-year-old man?
Correct.
I'm buying players' numbers that I know I'm not worried about getting tarnished. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not worried about 27 ever getting tarnished. I'm good with that number.
Okay.
I'm good with 45. I feel like that number is pretty rock solid no matter who else.
Would you get what else. George and Griffin on it or would you just get blank?
I could do either one. Okay. If they had it where I could, if it's like, oh yes, for an extra $150, you can get a nameplate on it. I don't know if I'm doing that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going with 27 or 45.
But you wouldn't get, like, just a plain 2 or plain 4.
Well, 2, now 2's interesting because we talked about how good 2 is.
I know.
2 is a number that you could represent so many different players. Now, I would get a number that I feel like for sure has a player that at least meant something to me back in the day. You know what I mean?
So 23. Bad,
of course.
Bad angles.
Of course. I could look at it and go, God, this guy. Running out the interception, we could just taking a knee at Alabama. What are you doing against Alabama? Not at Alabama.
That guy takes bad angles.
Yeah, it takes bad angles. God.
You see, for me,
I get a 12.
A 12.
He's trying to rage, baby.
Cardale Jones. Why not? Well, let's do it.
I still have
the ugly number.
Like 4 number 5 jerseys because Braxton's my favorite player of all the players to play from 2011 to 2015. Tyvis, I guess, is climbing up the list a little bit, but still has not surpassed Braxton Miller for me. But if I were to get a jersey, it would be a number like that where it's like
number 5.
My 5 jersey was Braxton Miller and it turned into, you know, just blanked.
Who's wearing
Garrett 5? Wilson, like, you know, yeah. It just changed over time. And for me, I would grab like a new number 2 because we all know that a number, the best player, some of the best players on offense and defense, it could double for 2 different players'
sure.
jerseys.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get a name on the back. I'm just going to get a number 2 and let it last me 5 to 10 years.
Here's the thing, though. You go get the nameplate on the back. That helps the NIL if it's a current player. Like I'm saying, if you go buy a current player's jersey, that money goes to them.
Yeah, so does rounding up at the concession stand, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but if you're like, I want to get a 4 jersey, like I don't think you're going to regret that. Like I think Jeremiah Smith's pretty locked in on how talented he is. I think his legacy's pretty established. You get now that one I might just do because I mean my last name is not Bone, it's Smith. So like I could go get a Smith jersey number 4 and. You know, for my cousin, Jeremiah. And then we could just, you know, I could wear that jersey because it's Smith. It's right there.
Yeah, out of his mind.
You don't see the resemblance?
Yeah, Tyvis, we're built different. Me and Jeremiah. Yeah.
Okay.
See if you can lock me down. I don't know if you can get Jeremiah. You can get this J. Smith. You can try to see what you can do. It's me.
Well, you know what? You should get the block O.
Yeah, why? I get a triple O, actually. They have three. Go right across here.
Triple D.
Yeah. ESPN may be the only one who could save college football. We'll talk about it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Over on the east side, your roads are still looking great on this Thursday. 270 southbound, you're flying just outside of Gahanna. Even heading towards the airport, maybe downtown. 670 westbound, no issues to report out there. And for our friends on the west side, good morning to you. Taking 270 between 33 to Roberts Road. That's only a 5 minute commute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
.com. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Talking about jersey numbers, you could be safe buying at Ohio State. You wanted to go get one of those new jerseys, right? Get a number you want on it. I said 27, pretty secure. 45, pretty secure. I feel like 4 is good.
I feel like there's nobody that's, like, first of all, ain't 27 to 45 retired at Ohio State?
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like, you don't have to, I don't think, worry about either of those gentlemen now. Either.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
going out and doing something.
Right. I'm saying, like, you've got some pretty rock-solid dudes there. One of them is a current football coach in college football. One of them, obviously, is an ambassador for Ohio State, has been for decades. So, yeah, I would tend to think those are good. Another one, though, that would fall into that category for me as far as all-time player, all-time great guy, 33. Like,
threes.
Yeah, James Laurinaitis.
Well, Devin Brown absolutely got to wear it, so.
What the hell's that have to do with anything? We all knew that was a joke when we heard. I mean, I think most of us knew. That should have never been allowed to happen. Should have never been allowed to happen.
For multiple reasons. James was there, right? When Devin Brown was there, right?
I don't think so. I think he just got here. Wasn't it 2 years ago? Last year, 2 years ago?
I don't know.
Why don't you text him and ask him?
I could do that. James, if you're listening,
we don't have to text. His resume is out there, I'm quite sure. I thought it was he was there, obviously, this past year. I feel like there was a year before that. And then
Brown was there from 2022 to 2024.
Maybe there's 1 year of crossover. I'm just saying, like, yeah.
Yeah, it had to be.
Okay, but the time he had already, I'm just saying, I feel like that's
he
what
was
could have
with
said. No, you
Notre
can't
Dame.
He was, and James was a GA in 2023 and linebackers coach 2024 too, obviously, present
okay.
day.
Okay, bang.
So he was there when Devin Brown was.
That's even more gross.
Imagine walking into the facility wearing that jersey and then seeing James Laurinaitis walking around and being like, yeah, I deserve to wear this.
So one,
I'm a backup quarterback.
One, why the hell did they let a quarterback wear 33?
Well,
two,
yeah.
Why did they let Devin Brown wear the same number as James Laurinaitis? And three, why are they letting him do it while James is there?
Yeah, all the above. It's all right. It's fine.
James,
it's in the past
maybe
now.
Maybe James gave him the blessing.
And maybe James seems like the type of guy who would do that. However,
what
should never have been put in that position.
Yes. What did he do after Devin burned the boats and then had to get the fire extinguisher out and transfer anyway?
What did he do after?
I wonder if you.
What did he do after Devin Brown had to call up and ask for some?
I wonder how it works.
Bags of cash.
I wonder how it works.
How about that?
Like, say, okay, let's say for this particular example, let's go with Devin Brown. Let's say that James gave the blessing that Devin Brown could wear 33.
Now I can't hear anything but the Christmas Vacation.
The blessing.
Go ahead. You're fine. Back to you.
Lock in.
I'm sorry. Oh, lock in. Mr. ADD, like, oh my gosh, did you see?
Lock in.
Just random NBA thing out of nowhere.
Like, go ahead. James gave him the blessing to wear 33, and he went on to do bigger things. He got into the Hall of Fame. He won a championship as a quarterback with 33. He took 33.
If obviously this is
we're
not
living
what
in an alternate reality right now. Okay,
how would that make James feel?
What do you mean? How would it
like? How would it make you feel if you gave my blessing
and the guy ended up living up to it and being awesome?
No, he surpassed it to the point where they think of 33 now. They think of him instead of you.
I mean,
it's like 15 with the Nuggets.
I selfishly, in my deepest thoughts, would be like, I kind of wish I was the only 33 people thought of.
Right.
However, I could see also, after getting past that very selfish thought, saying, But you know what? If anybody's going to wear my number, I'm glad it's somebody that, you know, actually lived up to it. Did you ever see what Michael Irvin said about this?
47?
No, Michael Irvin.
Playmaker.
Yeah.
About CeeDee Lamb taking his number?
About 88.
Oh, no.
Because they asked him if he wanted.
Didn't Dez have it too?
I think you're right.
Dez had it first.
If he ever wanted it to be retired, and he said, no, I never wanted it to be retired. He said, because now, for the rest of time, whenever anybody else puts that jersey on, like he said, because he was saying CeeDee Lamb wears it, and he said, if there's a pass and it hits him on the hands and he drops it, they're going to be like, Michael Irvin would have never dropped that. You know, like he just said, like the guy wearing 88 will always remind them of him. And again, I don't think James Laurinaitis is that guy. I'm just saying that's probably a little bit how I would feel too. That's a good perspective on it. It's like, if you're that type of player, then you probably are not too worried about your legacy because you're like, go ahead.
Well, Garrett Stover, whenever you get your pick in the end zone, you got no choice but to run it out.
Sure. Is that 23?
Michael Irvin is probably next level narcissist, but I think if you're unselfish enough to give someone your number, you want them to live up to it.
Yes.
But if it were me and someone asked me for my number, I'd be like, nah.
The number 15, when you think of 15, you think of Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if Chris Henry Jr. becomes the greatest wide receiver to play here at 15?
Then I think there's a point where, like, two has become, if you have a few more people who do that, then that becomes one of those numbers. It's like, oh, you're wearing 15 at Ohio State. I've said this, that when we talked about the retiring numbers thing with, who was it at USC? Was it Matt Leiner?
Yes.
They asked him to unretire his number.
Mark Sanchez and it's Matt Leiner.
No, his is getting unretired because once you go on a, when you go and start fighting a guy driving a grease truck in Indianapolis, allegedly, then yeah, you get your number unretired. But no, with Matt Leiner, he said he wouldn't unretire unless it was for one of his kids, and people call that selfish, and I'm like, you shouldn't have ever asked this guy. You retired his number. But now we're pulling numbers out of retirement because some like high school recruit who's done nothing in college football wants to wear the jersey. And I feel like, I know there's only certain numbers. There's only so many numbers to go around. You can't retire all of them, right? Because then you just have everybody, you have like three guys who are wearing the same crappy number because no one's ever done anything in it. That wouldn't be great. But at some point, I just wonder, maybe you get to that level like soccer does where it's like, oh, this guy's wearing a 9. That's a good player. Oh, this guy's wearing the 10. That's a great player. If you're a defender and you're wearing either 2 or 4, those are great players. If you're a midfielder wearing 6 or 8, you're a great player. Like when you go to Real Madrid or Barcelona or Manchester United, you put on one of those. You put on number 10 at Manchester United, Wayne Rooney. Like that's who you're going to be compared to. You got to live up to that. I think that's a cool thing. But we don't do that in football, you know, in American sports, at least we typically retire these numbers. And I feel like that's good for now, but like 100 more years from now, we're going to have to start unretiring some numbers. So maybe the soccer route is the way to go. I don't know. As always, my solution usually involves let's go look at soccer, which I know everybody hates. Did we update the fan poll, Dylan? Is it up there now?
Yeah, it's on Twitter, and it was on everything else accurately.
Oh, okay.
I didn't need to correct any of those.
Well, that's good. You didn't also post it to your like OnlyFans or whatever you're doing? I mean, it has fan in it.
Yeah, I didn't put it in my link tree.
Yeah, the fan poll sponsored by JT's Pizza Pub. Do you care about the NFL schedule release? If I have to vote on this, I'm going to say yes, I care.
There's certain games that I care to see where they are.
I want to find out a few of those games, right? I want to see, like, for my team, I want to see, do the Browns have, like, 3 games on the road back-to-back? Or do they have a Thursday night game? Do they, you know, stuff like that, sure. But beyond that, like, if you sent this email out the day after the Super Bowl, I'd be like, that's cool.
Oh, man.
I don't need 4 months of build-up to the schedule release. I don't need all the cute videos. Most of them suck.
Well, you keep seeing all these leaks, and then you got all these accounts on Twitter that's leaking stuff, and I don't know if it's real or not. Like, I need to know, is the Browns opening up against Jacksonville? Is that real? Is the Pittsburgh Steelers opening up against the Falcons? Like, is that real? I need to know.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted the Browns to just open up against the Falcons. Like, that would have been, that's too much like right, though.
Well, as of right now, the fan poll, the voting is 53.8% of you said, no, I don't care about it. So, okay, good. I don't want to talk about it. Well, tomorrow we'll say what their schedules are. That's fine. But like, Let's analyze all of it. We'll have a few NFL schedule updates if you want to hear about them. Like, I do have the amount that everybody's traveling this year, but that's already known. Nothing about what comes out today will be changing that. It's just the amount of miles. I find that interesting. We'll have that for you in a little bit, but we will, when we come back, actually talk about the thing I teased last segment, which was ESPN may be the only thing that can save college football. I'll explain why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Well, absolutely no crashes or even slowdowns to report right now. Looking fantastic for our roads over on Worthington Galena Road. We're talking the north side of Columbus, both directions of 270. No issues to report whatsoever. As for our friends in Grove City on that southwest side, if you're heading out the door right now, your commute times are looking great as well. 71 north, 270 eastbound, even 62 eastbound. Looking nice and green on our Time Saver traffic map. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Last year, Eric Reeser and T-Bone staged the first annual Fan 5K. People had a good time and no one died. So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly, will Tyvus, Common Man, and Timmy make total fools of themselves? Maybe. Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes. Register today at 971theRace.com.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You know, some of you are up with us very early every morning, and we appreciate you doing that. I know you listen. I appreciate that. You're on maybe the YouTube chat. Maybe you're just driving in your car. Either way, just know that we love that you listen. However, sometimes if you're not in your car, you're not listening past like 7 or 7:30, you miss some stuff that we had going on that you didn't know about. We talked to a college football analyst, Josh Pate, a couple days ago, had him on. If you missed that interview, it happened at like 8:30. Was that on Tuesday's show, I believe?
Correct.
Yeah. Tomorrow on the show, I believe in the 8 o'clock hour, are we getting Mary Kay Cabot, I believe?
That is also correct.
All right. My point is, if you're not up, or you're up early, but maybe then you've got other stuff you do later in the morning and you don't hear the end of the show, you might miss some of those interviews, some of those interactions. We had Charlie Coyle on yesterday at 7:45. So if you want to hear those interviews or just whatever goes on after you get out of your car, the Fan Pod or the T-Bone and Tyvus podcast, it's there for you. All the fan shows are podcasted. You can find them on your favorite podcast app. Just search T-Bone and Tyvus or whatever your favorite show is here. Go find it. T-Bone and Tyvus podcast is brought to you by Capital Ford of Columbus. But then you can check out that other part of the show, maybe that you don't know about, where we actually have some interviews on or some stupid games where we make Tyvus eat things, you know, whatever. Mm. Some of that stuff happens later in the show and you miss it if you're up early.
Yeah, because full disclosure, it's hard to get a guest to come on at 6:30 in the morning.
Sometimes.
Unless they're James Laurinaitis and you're a badass and you're up and you're at it anyway.
Right. We have had him on that early. Yes.
But besides him, people prefer to come on in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that's usually when we get more of our guests. So like I said, if you like that and you never get to hear it, T-Bone and Tyvus podcast, again, brought to you by Capital Ford of Columbus. So thanks to them. I said that ESPN could possibly save college football. Full disclosure, I hate ESPN. I'm not a fan of most of the fact that...
Wasn't we like a ESPN affiliate?
Yeah.
Used to be.
And they dragged us down, quite honestly. they did. It was, dude, I will never forgive ESPN Radio for what they've done to their product. Back in the day, Dan Patrick was on there. You had some all-time great talent at ESPN Radio. Mike and Mike in the Morning, clearly, that kind of stuff. And now, I mean, thankfully, we do local programming in those spots, and we don't need that. But the stuff that they were running, like overnights and in evenings, it was... still is awful. It's stuff that's basically made for TV, and then they're just like, throw it on the radio. But anyway, I have that beef. But then I hate the SEC bias. I hate all that stuff.
Butterfly effect, though. If their morning program didn't suck so bad after Mike and Mike, we might not be here.
Hey, you know what? Fair point to you, Dylan. That's correct. So we got to take the good with the bad. I'm just saying I'm not a fan of ESPN, so it pains me to say this, brother, when I have to tell you that I think ESPN may be the only saviors of college football, because I just saw that ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips confirmed Wednesday that basically everybody in the ACC now seems to be fully on board with going to a 24-team playoff.
Yeah, it brings cash.
Uh-huh. You know who apparently is not on board with it?
The SEC.
Well, but why? What is the SEC's? What is their media partnership?
ESPN.
I feel like Brian Windhorst here. Let's think about it. Why is that?
Why?
What's that? Right.
The X-Files music.
There you go. Now he knows what it is. It's good. So ESPN, apparently, according to Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, the ACC also has a partnership television-wise with ESPN. He said ESPN has been pretty clear with all of us. They like it to stay at 12, maybe 14 teams, but no higher than 16. He said this to Andy Staples. Meanwhile, the same ACC whose games air on ESPN are now supporting that 24-team format. So let's do the math here. Big Ten wants the 24-team playoff. Tony Patini's been pushing it, all of that. Now you have the ACC aligned. Notre Dame recently came out and said they'd be in support of it.
24?
Yeah.
Of course.
Big 12 wants it.
I mean, it guarantees. What was Tony Petiti's thing? Was it automatic bids in his thing?
I can't remember the initial iteration of it to where it's gone now. I feel like yes. In the initial iteration, it was guaranteed bids to like 5 Big Ten and 5 SEC. And I think then he was like Big 12 and ACC, you guys can have like 2. And it was something a joke like that where a lot of them were like, what? And now I'm sure they've come around on it.
I feel like it was reported it was 16 team and it was 4-4. Let's do some math. Adds you up to
that's 8.
Yeah. 2-2.
So that's 12.
And then 4 at large.
Yeah, okay. And that was, and then I think they moved it up to 24 because he said it could be 16 or it could be 24. Let's be real clear about why the Big Ten started this push and why Tony Petitti did it. It's, yeah, I'm sure because there's some level of this will give more of our teams a chance in the playoffs and whatever. Who is the TV partner with the Big Ten? It is obviously Fox. How many games of the playoffs does Fox currently
zero?
Right. So ESPN carries how many playoff games?
100% of them.
Yes. All of them. So go figure. The conference most closely aligned with ESPN says, I don't want to expand because that means we have to redo the TV contract. And that means we don't have as many games. Also, even if they do redo the TV contract, which they eventually will, right? Even if it stays 12 teams, if it moves to 14 or 16, they'll redo the TV contract then. ESPN also controls pretty much every bowl game that is not in the playoffs. Like when you see the Camping World Bowl and you're like, who's going to this? ESPN doesn't care because they sold that sponsorship to Camping World. They own the rights to it. If you are a company that wants to sponsor whatever the bowl game is in whatever the Citrus Bowl used to be called, I don't know what that's called now, right? But like if you want to sponsor that game, you don't call the people in Orlando or wherever it is. You call ESPN's headquarters, and then they work out how much money you give them. So they control all those bowl games. Well, now if you're taking 24 teams,
all of them can't be on ESPN.
No, they can't. And also the bowl game inventory that ESPN has, which used to get, the first or second team out of the playoffs. Now they're going to go play in these bowl games, and you might still want to watch them. Well, now all those teams are going to be in the playoffs. So your bowl game system is going to be wildly screwed.
Watches them anyway.
Not enough people.
Cheez-Its Bowl. The Pop-Tart Bowl is gone.
No, the Pop-Tart Bowl is still there.
It's going to be a semi. What you saying?
Well, no. Pop-Tart Bowl, a part of the playoffs.
No, they won't. They'll.
Are you sure? I mean,
ESPN won't have control of all the playoff games when they reopen the TV contract. So they can't just migrate a bowl game over there and say, oh, this is a bowl game, because Fox will say, cool, but we own the rights to this game, so we're going to be selling that. So ESPN knows whenever this opens up, it's going to cost them their bottom line. So I don't like that this is why they're defending it, but this is the only reason they're keeping us from going to 24 teams.
I want to know, isn't this all about doing what's best for the athletes?
No, that's not what it's about, Tyus. They don't care about the athletes or the fans.
That's what this was like at the end of the day.
Who said that?
You should put your pride to the side and do what's best for the athletes. That should always be like the number one thing. What's the best thing for these athletes?
And I think that is a noble thought that probably hasn't been true about college athletics for at least 40 or 50 years. Like, I may be conservatively estimating on that. I don't think, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm sure there are individuals over at the Woody who care about those athletes. I'm sure there are individuals at every college sports program that care about their athletes. The problem is the decision makers at those universities and at those conferences, they care less about that. They care more about the money. And part of their argument now is they can throw it over like, well, we just need more money so we can pay the athletes, right? That's what you want. It's like, yeah, but you're trying to do stuff that is ultimately going to benefit your bottom line. If you're the Big Ten, if you're Fox, if you're ESPN, SEC, the what's best for the players, what's best for the fans, that's gone. They don't care about that at all. They care about how much money they can make. For whatever their reasoning, if it's to help the players get more or help the schools get more.
No, it's because their piece of the pie is now smaller, so now they want to make the pie bigger.
It's because prices is $4.40.
Again, if you're getting it for $4.40, please tell me where I can go.
Please. I said $4.40 on sheets on 23. Well, it was yesterday.
Well, see, I don't know if
it went up or down today. I wasn't paying attention.
What was the premium? I got
That's totally different.
I care about my car. I don't just put, you know, crap in there. I actually try to keep my car running nice.
When it's up to four, when it's past $4, I just need to get there.
Your engine does not know how much the gas costs. That's a problem. But I understand what you're saying. All right. The list is coming up next. Top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. We'll do that top of the hour, 7 a.m. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing more cars out there on the roads, especially in our southeast Columbus area. Starting over by Monk's Corner, of course, we are seeing traffic building by that 70 and 33 intersection, as well as over in Canal Winchester. Right now, only a 5-minute commute, though, still okay on 33 westbound between Gender Road to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
call now.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers trailed the Detroit Pistons by 9 points with less than 3 minutes left in Game 5 last night. However, the Cavs found a way to force OT and eventually win 117-113. James Harden had 30 points in the victory, and the Cavs now lead the series 3-2. Game 6 from Cleveland tips off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On the diamond, the Guardians beat the Angels 4-2, completing a 3-game sweep. The Guards have the day off today before hosting the start of the Ohio Cup versus the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. And speaking of the Reds, they dropped their second straight to the Washington Nationals 8-7. They'll try to avoid the sweep this afternoon. First pitch is at 12:40 over on the Fan 2. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy today for cash. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
We were talking about jersey numbers, guys that you would want to wear the jersey of, because, of course, the Buckeyes have updated their jerseys to look the way they should have looked 20 years ago. 2006 was the last time they had the heritage stripes, the silver stripes on the sleeves. They were gray at the time. Now they're silver. I think this looks better. I like the way this looks, but it's going to be on the scarlet, Holmes, the away whites, and, of course, on the black jerseys. I do wonder if we'll get into a mix and match situation, but if you're going to go out and buy a new jersey, the question is what number you're getting put on it, getting a current player, getting a former player, that kind of thing.
By the way, I think it's malpractice that they announced that these jerseys are coming out. Don't have them available for sale until like July, though. Like, why would you do that? You can't buy them right now.
They're not for sale yet?
No. And they're not going to be for sale until July. What's the point?
Oh, I know what the point is. You never seen what they do with concerts now? Hey,
I guess
Taylor Swift's going on tour in November, and the pre-sale, sign up here to get, and then it's like emails, data collection, everything that you, so like, I'm quite sure a part of that is, hey, I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just saying that would be smart business by Ohio State to say, yeah, sign up here to get updates on when that's going to drop and you can, you know, get ready for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm sure the people.
That could also be because, I don't know, all the Nike jerseys have been stuck in the Strait of Hormuz. I have no idea. I don't know the reasoning, okay? I'm just saying maybe there's legitimate logistical reasons why they're not available yet, or maybe it's just to build a little hype for them. I don't know. Either way.
The people over there are smarter than me, but for me, I would be like, announcement, let's start collecting funds.
Sure enough, I bet they would probably prefer to do that. I'm guessing it has to do with some global logistics thing more than it has to do with building hype. I'm just saying it's not unheard of to build hype for something that everybody already, we know they want. So, yeah, we'll see. But I said 27, 45, 33, no doubt. Jerseys you could buy for Ohio State, all-timers, you don't have to worry about those.
You said 23?
No.
33.
Oh.
He said 33.
I thought you said 20.
For you, I would buy 23. If I came in here wearing a 23 jersey, I don't know what, I'm curious what your reaction would be if I just showed up wearing a 23 jersey.
I say it looked good on you. A lot of fabric.
this is a fact. This is very true. I just wonder if this would this be like how Drake got a tattoo of LeBron, where like they're buddies, they know each other.
Nah.
But then you're getting a tattoo of another guy on your arm, which I know now you said he's since covered up, apparently.
He had LeBron's high school jersey, like, tatted on his arm, and they got into their beef.
Yeah.
Because LeBron attended Kendrick's pop-up in L.A., which was about Drake, dissing Drake.
Yeah, he performed Not Like Us about 72 times.
Yeah, and then Drake was upset with LeBron, so he went and got the 23 jersey covered up to number 2, which is now for SGA.
Yeah.
Because he's Canadian.
You wearing a shirt, essentially, to support your coworker is not the same as getting another man tatted on your body. That's just my opinion. If that's what you want to do, let you live, I guess.
But did I not tell you guys I have like Powell 23 tattooed on my back at the same size and font as the OSU jersey? Did I not? I should have made that clear before we got into this.
The best, the worst, and sometimes even the dumbest. It's all here on The List.
Sponsored by Baths R Us. Go to BathsRUs.com to schedule your free estimate. Baths R Us, where dreams soak in.
All right, we're going top 5 NFL quarterbacks right now. And I feel like right now can be taken. I mean, obviously it's current. But I do, for me, I'm taking into account how some of these guys have played in their careers and my trust that they will be back if they've been dealing with injuries, things like that. All right, I'm going to go with my number 5 here. We'll start off at 5 and work our way to 1, I guess. I'm going to go with number 5 for me, Joe Burrow. Now that he's bad, he's just hurt a lot. And if he's not hurt, he's probably higher on this list for me. But he's hurt a lot. Seems like, what is it, 3 of the 6 years, last 6 years, he has played fewer than double-digit games. So, Joe Burrow for me, number 5. Good player.
Number 5 for me, I'm going to go Josh Allen.
Okay.
Just, you know, I just think he's going to take a step back. It's a lot there. You know, obviously, you promote your OC to the head coach. I like to see how things go with McDermott. I don't even know who they got in the draft. Did they end up addressing the wide receiver position? I don't even remember.
They traded for the Bears wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Essentially, to me, I felt like that's like you had that with Khalil Shakir. So I don't think they really did what they needed to do. So I'm going to say Josh Allen 5.
Dylan.
Number 5 for me is only because he won MVP last year and he was my guy last year, but he is old. Matthew Stafford.
Wow, you're putting him number... Wow, I have him very different position than we do.
Because he won MVP last year. That's why you're doing it.
I'm a bit of a recency bias there. I have number 4. I have Josh Allen. And
you guys and Josh Allen.
I feel like Josh Allen has had just about everything go right for him that you could possibly have, and he's just never gotten over the hump. So for me, I feel like all these other quarterbacks I'm going to talk about have either had injuries or their organizations are dumb and they don't get them any... Like, you can tell one of these guys like never has a wide receiver, it seems like, but then they still do more than what he does when he's had everything laid out for him and he still doesn't get the job.
Well, the part that they don't,
I'm putting him number 4, by the way. I didn't say he should be like fired and never be allowed to play football.
This don't make sense to me. And this is what I don't understand about Dylan is he'll say Patrick Mahomes has fallen off.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes had 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 11 picks. Josh Allen, who is very much on in your opinion, had 3,600 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 10 picks. Their stats is about the same.
Go look at the rushing numbers.
It makes no sense to me.
Okay.
Rushing numbers. Okay. No sense to me.
All right.
Anyways, number four for me is Lamar Jackson. Just as Josh Allen has a new OC, so does Lamar Jackson. Had battled some stuff last year, and it was kind of funky last year, so it'll be interesting to see what he does now that he's running the show. He's been accused a lot this offseason of, like, not having the best work ethic, being lazy at times and stuff like that, and it seems like he's heard that noise and been more in that building, so I'm expecting to see a good year out of him.
Dylan, you're number three. Or four, I'm sorry.
My number four is Patrick Mahomes, and I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan purely on reputation alone. Dude hasn't finished top five in MVP voting since 2023. They missed the playoffs last year. He's coming off a torn ACL. I'm not about the Patrick Mahomes hate. Four, I think, is a fair ranking for him.
Okay, fair enough. My number three, I have Pat Mahomes there. I'll put him there. I would put his numbers up. I don't care that his numbers have been bad. That's
bad for him, by the way.
Bad for him.
Right. Like, right. It's all relative.
To Tyvus's point, I mean, he had numbers that are comparable to Josh Allen's, and everyone's like, God, he's trash. He may not be any good anymore.
Who won,
like,
MVP last year?
Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford.
Oh, Matt Stafford.
Yeah. But I'm looking at Pat Mahomes still believing that he is not, like, washed by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's still really good. So I have him at three.
Number three for me is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, if he plays a whole healthy season, this is a guy that can lead the league in passing and touchdowns and all those things as well. He's going to have to play that well. They did a really good job getting him a defense, and they've had no issue scoring in the past and when he's out there. So to me, if he's out there, the thing about Joe Burrow is I compare him to Tom Brady. Joe Burrow is going to be is one of those quarterbacks that, it don't matter what happened for the first three quarters. If you give him the ball with 2 minutes left and you tell him to go win the game, more times than not, he'll go down there and win that game.
All right. I tend to agree, and I would love to see what actually happens. I don't necessarily want to see it happen because I'm not a Chiefs fan, but like, talking about Joe Burrow with the Bengals. Like, if he actually gets a full season of health with an offensive line and all those weapons, it really comes down to the defense at this point. Like, get him somebody who can actually get the job done on defense. But we'll find out if that actually happens. They're trying to fix it, but they've tried before. Number three for you, Dylan.
It's also Joe Burrow for a lot of the same reasons. I think he would be the best quarterback in the NFL if he was more available.
Yeah, that's why I had him five.
Disagree.
If he was healthier, I would do that. All right, we'll do number two, number one, our list. Top five NFL quarterbacks right now coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing more cars out there on the roads, especially in our southeast Columbus area. Starting over by Monk's Corner, of course, we are seeing traffic building by that 70 and 33 intersection, as well as over in Canal Winchester. Right now, only a 5-minute commute, though, still okay on 33 westbound between Gender Road to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a quiet start to the day with a chilly temperature in the 30s and 40s. And then for this afternoon, partly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s. For tonight, another chilly evening with lows down into the 30s and 40s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with temperatures a little bit warmer, getting into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Performance matters in intimate moments. And don't be naive, all right? This is 2026. There is this thing called a group chat. And if you go in that bedroom and you let ED affect you, you will be in the group chat. They will talk about you. So don't let that happen. My people at Tri-State Men's Health is there to help you. So you, when they go into that group chat, they're saying positive things and not negative things. Because Tri-State Men's Health uses advanced medical science to empower male performance with therapies that go far beyond just pills. They got treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some of them treatments can have you last an hour or more. Oh, she gonna talk that talk in that group chat about you. Tri-State got 6 locations, 2 of them located in Columbus, 1 is in Hilliard, the one other one is in Westerville. So call them today and find out why their advanced treatment strategies offer so much more. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health today. The initial visit is only $99. They have an expert staff, and if you're like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after the appointment. So call them today at 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMensHealth.com.
It was shameful when you can make a horse look small.
Now you gonna make, that ain't gonna be that ain't gonna be the case.
I don't know what's gonna happen?
Right? They're gonna say you look like a horse.
Each their own. Now we're gonna finish up the list. We have our top 5 quarterbacks right now. We're working on number 2 and number 1. As is my 5-year-old, apparently. That's also something she says from time to time. The point is, after we're done with that, remind me to tell you two about a problem I had this morning with my soap in the shower.
You dropped it.
Uh-oh. No. Wait. No. I'll tell you about it.
No.
I'll tell you more about it after we get through the list. Okay? I'll explain it. Even if I did drop it, I'm the only one in there, Ty. This wasn't going to happen. The faucet's going to get me? I don't know. I don't know what the problem's going to be there. All right, so our top 5 of quarterbacks right now. So my first 5, 4, and 3, Joe Burrow 5, Josh Allen 4, Pat Mahomes 3. Tyvus, what were your 5, 4, and 3?
Allen, Jackson, Burrow.
Okay, and Dylan, yours?
Matthew Stafford at 5, Patrick Mahomes at 4, Joe Burrow at 3.
Okay, there we go. My number 2 quarterback right now. I still put him there. I know he dealt with injuries last year. I still think he is perhaps the most dangerous player in the game. When he is healthy, that is Lamar Jackson. 2-time MVP. I cannot deny that. I think still a lot of that is there. I think if they get him, yes. I think things got stale there with the Ravens, with the previous regime. Get him all new guys. Get him all new, you know, coaching staff. Let's see what happens. But I still have Lamar Jackson that high up there. I have that much respect. Number 2 on my list.
Number 2 on my list is Patrick Mahomes. I know he dealt with some injuries last year. I know he's coming off of an ACL and all those things. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes is just the one of one. I think if you get him some weapons around him and they'll find a way to get it done. I think a lot of the offensive struggles actually had to do with the guy calling the plays. And I think now that they got Eric Bieniemy back calling the plays, I think that we'll see Patrick Mahomes be vintage Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Good. You're number 2, Dylan?
Number 2, I agree with you. Bone is Lamar Jackson, and I feel like he's one of the more disrespected players in NFL history. Like, he's a 2-time MVP. Agree. When he's healthy, he's finishing top 3 in MVP every single year, and I don't understand how he receives any hate.
I feel like Josh Allen gets credit for stuff that he hasn't done, that when Lamar Jackson does it, people go, oh, yeah, but he hasn't won the Super Bowl, so who cares? Right. And it's just like, neither is Josh Allen, but we somehow we care about that when Josh Allen does, but we don't care about it when Lamar Jackson has been doing it. But whatever. My number 1, and if you asked me 12 months ago if I was going to be saying this, I would have said you are out of your mind. But right now, top 5 NFL quarterbacks, the guy who's the defending MVP, how can I deny him? Matt Stafford has the resume, has the talent. He has been that guy for a very long time. I did not think he was a bad quarterback in Detroit. I thought it was an issue of the system failing him there, not him failing the system. He obviously went and vindicated himself with the Rams winning that Super Bowl. And then I thought, all right, well, after that, though, he's going to eventually fall off. No, still got it. Last year proved that. Matt Stafford, number 1 for me. NFL quarterback right now.
Good for him. Let him live. My number 1 quarterback going into this season is Shedeur Sanders. Wrist up.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Wrist up, baby. Let's go.
Not 12. It's 2 now, right? Is he 2? He changed to 2?
My number 1 quarterback is also Matthew Stafford, the future Hall of Famer. after last season, he's finally solidified himself in my book as a Hall of Famer.
I think Dylan and I had him in the Hall of Fame before you.
For sure.
You said
if it wasn't for last year, he was never an All-Pro and he was never an MVP. So how could he be? And he answered both of those things last season. So to me, that's a guy that absolutely deserves to go to the Hall of Fame.
Fine.
And I think him and Sean McVay is just like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together, they work, and it's just magic. So
I'm happy that even though I think Dylan and I took a more direct route to Matt Stafford Hall of Fame land, you drove like all the way around and twisted yourself into a pretzel, but you finally got there. So I'm glad you made it is all I'm saying. We're all there at the same time. That's the good news. We're all there now. Dylan, who's your number one quarterback right now?
For me, when it comes to health and performance over the past 2 or 3 years and who I think is going to play very well next season, my number one is Josh Allen. He won MVP 2 years ago. He's finished top three in the MVP the past 3 years, and I think he's prone to do it all again next year.
Tyvus, any thoughts on that?
No.
Nope.
Yes, you do.
You've vocalized lots of them to me over the time we've been together.
You're not a Josh Allen guy, Tyvus?
Listen, man, I don't know why you think that. It doesn't make sense. Like, Josh Allen to me is, he is a guy. It's so funny to me how a guy can go out there and sink his team and then have to be heroic to get his team out. But we consider that great. But like, you see, y'all have penalized all these other quarterbacks and say that they trash, and they literally do the same thing. It's funny to me.
He throws a lot of picks compared to the touchdowns. He does get his team into holes, and then he finds his way out.
It's funny to me.
Because to me, over the past 5 years,
the guy who literally had everything laid out for him, they was gifting him a Super Bowl this year, and he still couldn't find a way to get it done. And they lost because of him. He got his head coach fired because of him.
Yeah.
And yet we're saying this is the, it's like over, I say it, I get it though.
Matthew Stafford winning MVP at his advanced age is like an anomaly. Like, we've never seen a guy like that just go out and then just win MVP in his late 30s. But over the past 5 years, I feel like unquestionably the top four quarterbacks have been Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. And I honestly feel like Patrick Mahomes has probably been the most consistent of all of them. But I think he's the past 2 years, his performance has dipped. And Josh Allen's has just stayed the same.
Yeah.
He's the most consistent one.
Stayed the same, but then again, what is the same? The same is a guy who throws picks and
takes
puts you in
sacks.
Bad situations, and then he gets you out of those situations. To your point, Tyvus, the criticisms levied at Josh Allen, but then are ignored because he does eventually figure it out at the end, right? And he gets you through. He has a lot of game-winning drives, a lot of taking his team down in the fourth quarter, it feels like. At least, I don't have the stats, it feels like that. But the argument of like, why did he get them in the first place? Is like, well, because in the first and second quarter, they got down by two touchdowns because he had three turnovers.
What more does he need? He's literally had everything and still has not produced any results.
Yeah, he had a great receiving core last year.
He had one a few years ago when they lost to the Chiefs, and then every year Stephon Diggs was there. Stephon Diggs finished like top three in receiving yards every year he was there. So yeah, they had that, and he still didn't get it done. Last year, he didn't have to go against none of the top quarterbacks. He still didn't get it done, but yet this is a guy who's number one. Like, yeah, okay. I agree. Sure.
I want to remind everyone, Tyvus had nothing to say about this until...
You want to know the list of quarterbacks that finished ahead of the MVP voting of Patrick Mahomes this year? If you guys want to say he got hurt at the very end of the year. I feel like the narrative is shifting on that.
Did Josh Allen finish above him?
Yes.
Oh, because he threw for 100 more yards?
Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Herbert just all got more votes than Patrick
Mahomes. Because he threw for 100 more yards, he finished before that? Yeah, okay.
I don't care who got more votes, though, because that's just people in the media who I already hate. Like, all those people who vote for it, half of them, I'm like, you're an idiot. And it's sometimes it's like, oh, I'm from this area, so I voted for, like, all the guys out in the AFC West or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, great. I don't know that I don't care as much who got the most votes. I care about who actually had the season and what we all saw. But yeah, that's fine. We can continue to have this debate. Thankfully, according to the NFL's, all their social medias, their schedule will be out today, and then we still will have, like, 5 more months until any of those games are actually played, but... I did see the fan poll, which Dylan put up on our Twitter at Bonet, or not at Bonet Tyvus, at 971 The Fan. Sponsored by JT's Pizza Pub. Do you care about the NFL schedule release? 72% of you say no.
All right. Then he talks to me about rushing yards. Josh Allen rushed. Josh Allen rushed for 579 yards. Patrick Mahomes rushed for 422 on 50 less carries.
All right. Can I?
But this guy is he's number one. Okay.
Can I tell you about my soap issue?
It says a lot about Patrick Mahomes more than Josh Allen to me.
Because I think we've run this into the ground. So I'm going to tell you about my soap thing very quickly. Today I get in the shower. I bought this soap. I usually use the squirt soap. You know what I'm talking about? Like the liquid soap?
Yes. Can you say liquid soap and not squirt soap?
Squirt out of a bottle. I get the, I have the, what's that like frilly thing that you have that's like a big ball that hangs on a string?
Loofah.
I call it a loofah, but then I found out there's a plant that's actually like a real loofah sponge. It's not that, it's the fake one. Anyway, so I have that. I'm getting the squirt soap. I'm squirting it into the loofah. And I bought this soap. It's the same brand I usually get, but I got a different scent or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually this soap comes out a deep, dark blue. Okay, so I get a blue goo. This soap came out creamy white.
Ooh,
and I didn't know that when I bought it. And I put it on the thing, and I'm just like, this is the worst looking soap. I'm just covered in white goo.
Right, I thought.
And you know, sometimes the soap, like, you know, will sometimes you over squirt the soap. I'm just saying squirt a lot for Dylan now because I know he loves it. But you put maybe a little too much soap on and some of it drips down onto the floor. And it's usually big blue drops of soap. Well, now there's like these white creamy drops in the shower. And I'm just like, this is disgusting. So bad. I got to switch soap is what I'm saying. I got to switch soap. I don't know if I can use this soap.
Maybe
again.
You need to go back to bars. So.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I'm out of squirt soap now. I got to go back to bars. All right, someone took a stab at guessing how much the OSU roster is worth. We'll run the numbers in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Cars in Canal Winchester still inching out there. We're talking 33 in that westbound direction over by Gender Road, but it does get a lot better passing that area. 33 and 270, you are flying out there. As for our friends on the north side, maybe heading downtown, taking 315. Only a 3-minute commute right now between 270 to Bethel Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Dylan, you sent me the video, and I didn't watch it live last night. Reds were in this game with the Nationals. They end up losing the game. What was the final score? Was it?
It was 8-7.
Okay, but it was 8-6 at the time of this. They're in the 10th inning, and they have, do they have one on for this?
Yeah, runner on third.
Runner on third, and so there's what looked like what we thought was going to be a home run by the Reds to tie up the game.
Yes.
And unfortunately for the Reds, the ball looked like it probably would have hit off the very top of the wall, but easily would have been a double, right? Instead, there's a guy who reaches over with his glove and catches it, okay? Now they zoom in on the fan. So this ended up being called an out, and the Reds end up going to lose the game. I hope this guy doesn't get any hate for it, because I think most people would have, like, again, in the moment, I know it's tough when you're standing there. He didn't really like lean out over the rail. He stuck his glove out. He caught it. All right. But I just noticed a little detail on this. I see that the guy's jersey that he's wearing, he has like a red jersey on, not a Reds jersey, but a red like soccer jersey. And on the front of it, it says Incendiary. That is a legendary New York hardcore band that this guy also has a glove at the game. I initially want to say, wow, you can't bring a glove to a game. I think adults bring a baseball glove to a game. I think that's silly. I think if you're over the age of 12, you got to leave the glove at home. That's for kids. If you catch it with your bare hands, fine. But you get bringing the glove out there is cheating, in my opinion.
I don't understand why you feel that way when grown men who get paid a lot of money also wear gloves.
Because they're paid to do the sports. They're paid to go to the sport. Wear a helmet and shoulder pads to an NFL game. You look like a goober.
People do it.
You look like an idiot. Well, is what I'm saying.
They're not making tackles. If they were making tackles, right, then that's totally
then they're
different.
Going out trying to like hit but people.
Points where you have a chance to catch a ball. Like I don't know why the glove thing is so frowned upon.
Fine, bring a bat too while we're at it.
You're not hitting the ball.
Why not? If it's coming at you, just try to swing at it. See if you can hit it back.
I mean, listen, I go stand on that mound and listen. Go ahead and take a swing.
Go to a Savannah Bananas game where all the balls are live and you could throw it back in from the crowd.
That's right. Exactly right.
You're a part of the game now.
I'm just saying, I don't think a grown person should wear a glove to a game, in my opinion. However, as much as I disagree with that.
If you pay whatever you paid to get in that game, you can bring and wear whatever the heck you want to.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's... I'm just telling you how I feel about it, all right? I'm not saying it should be a hard rule that we need to ban people. And you know what? Throw them into traffic while we're there. Like, throw them over into 70 onto traffic there as it goes by. No, I'm just saying, let's... I don't like the fact that he brought the glove, but I do like the fact he's wearing a band that I like. So I'm conflicted now because I feel like this guy and I would get along on a lot of things. That band Incendiary, they go hard. They're good.
So because he's wearing a band, I'm saying that y'all would be friends.
Now I find that I have connection with this man because this is a band that I like. He's part of the hardcore community.
Also would stick your glove over.
This is what I'm talking about. Do you have any musicians that you love?
No.
Okay.
Tupac. Well,
all right.
Rest in peace. Allegedly.
But he's very... I'm saying he's... Are we going to do that now? We're going to have conspiracy theories about Tupac not being dead? All right. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Yes. If you see someone who has a band that you like, you're wearing their t-shirt, I suddenly feel a connection with them. Because I'm like, well, okay, but you... At least we would agree on that. We may not agree on anything else, but we'd agree on that. That's good.
I am reading into Tyvus saying that if you pay whatever, you should bring whatever you want to the game. I think that is a soft launch for him admitting that he is the reason why there were sex toys thrown on the floor at the WNBA games last year.
Hey, that's right. Yeah, if you pay the money, why not? Bring your favorite object to the game. Maybe that helps you feel more comfortable at these games. And again, the question that always has, I've never had it answered, how did they sneak it in past security? I think I know how.
It's only one way.
I hope everybody had gloves on when they picked those things up. I'm trying to tell you.
That would be the thing. I'm not touching that.
All right. Yeah.
It smelled like tilapia.
What? Why? I don't even want to. You know what? I had almost zoned out, and then thankfully, I wish I had. I wish I completely missed all of them. Moving on. Someone took a stab at guessing how much the Ohio State roster is worth. This was from College Front Office, this account. I think they have a website, too. Let them live. They put the OSU estimated roster value this year. None of this is official. These are estimates based on their valuations for what they say these players would be worth according to what they know about college football. Okay? They estimate the OSU roster value to be $43.48 million in NIL spend. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we knew it was probably over $40 million. We've been talking about that. I do remember a couple years ago when we thought $20 million was ridiculous, and now we're already over probably $40 million.
That was the year that they won it, right? $20 million. That was considered, I think Oregon and Texas may have been the only ones that might be slightly above them, but $20 million was like...
That was viewed as like, wow.
They're cheating, people were saying.
Yeah. Am I wrong for remembering this? Maybe I'm misremembering. I feel like Ohio State unofficially tried to, as much as they could, tamp that down. And certainly Buckeye fans tried to say, oh, no, they didn't spend as much as these other schools. It was seen as, not a good thing that you spent that amount of money. And I feel like in 2 years we've gone from that to being like, why is Ohio State not spending $50 million? You know what I mean? Now it feels like, well, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it in all the way. But $43.48 million is what is estimated by College Front Office. Here are some player values they say they believe are roughly what these guys are making. Little guy named Jeremiah Smith, may have heard of him, stud receiver. Mm-hmm. They estimate him to be making $5 million. If he is, it's only because he didn't want more. But you know what I mean? He could have gotten way more than that. Let's say that that's accurate. Then He could have gotten more than that, but I'm not sure that that number is accurate. Clearly, these are estimates. They estimate that Julian Sayin is making $2.796 million. Very specific estimate there. Kenyatta Jackson, they have, I believe, is the third highest paid player on the Buckeye roster at $1.5 million. So, like,
$1.5
for Kenyatta Jackson.
That's the second highest?
Third highest. It's Jeremiah Smith, $5 million. Julian Sayin at $2.7 million. And then Kenyatta Jackson, $1.5
million. I feel like he's more.
These are estimates, yeah, obviously.
I feel like Jeremiah is more. What was the alleged that Miami offered him?
Oh, I think he probably could have got whatever number he wanted from them. Don't you? If he had said, put it at 10.
And I just think
they would have done it.
And you think he settled for 5?
I'm saying I think he wanted to be here, and I don't think he looked at it as I have to get the most money possible. I think he looked at it as I want to win a championship.
Agree with that, but like still,
I think it's higher than $5 million.
Oh, it's
personally,
definitely higher than $5 million.
But I'm saying
it has to be.
These are estimates.
I think that's probably about right because we know how much people value or even overvalue the quarterback position, and if Brendan Sorsby was supposedly the one who got the most in a transfer portal, and it was suggested he maybe got upwards of 7.
He getting it. They getting it back. So
I feel like wide receivers, even as great as Jeremiah Smith is, isn't going to get paid more than the top quarterback in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer on that. I don't know the answer on that because I know obviously I think Ohio State realizes how important he is. Every school realizes how important he is. Right, he is beyond just a game changer. He's beyond just a guy who's like an elite player. He is perhaps one of the all-time greats to ever play college football. So yeah, how much is that worth? Apparently, according to this, they're saying $5 million. I'm tending to think it's higher than that, but whatever. Here are the, according to, again, college front office estimates, here are the most expensive rosters in college football. Who did you say was previously like the highest spenders like 2 years ago?
Oregon, it
was
believed to be Texas.
Okay, well, Texas is number one on their estimates now. $47.9 million is what they estimate their roster to be.
Man, that's because they probably spent like $6 million to get Cam Coleman.
Yeah. Number two is not Oregon, but I think you can guess who it is based on what we were just talking about.
LSU.
Nope. It's a team that you were just talking about, Jeremiah Smith.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$44 million is what they estimate Miami spent.
I feel like if they could spend more, they would.
True enough. Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of these schools would do that. They're trying to balance tapping out the boosters versus getting the biggest amount of cash.
Well, they got Darian Mensah from
Duke. Paid a lot to get him, right?
Yeah, they did that, didn't they?
They're trying to run it back. Ohio State got $43.5 million, like we talked about. LSU was fourth, $42.8 million. Oregon tied with them, I guess. They have them at fifth, but it's $42.8 million for them as well. Notre Dame, they have at $40 million. Texas A&M at $38.9 million. Alabama 8th at $37 million, Tennessee 9th at $36 million, and rounding out the top 10, Texas Tech. Texas Tech. Texas Tech at $36.3 million, all per college front office.
Well, they're not going to be in the top 10 when they get that $7 million back.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's with or without Brendan Sorsby.
Well, that's a solid point. Maybe they're not estimating that he's. I don't know. That's a very good point there. All right, one of the weirdest relationships could be reaching a breaking point in sports. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at yet another crash downtown. This time around, it's happening on 71 in that southbound direction, passing 670 and right at 40, also known as Broad Street. That right shoulder is blocked, so really not seeing any traffic developing. So far, so good. At least some better news when it comes to your roads around the metro. We're talking in Plain City, heading towards Dublin. Only a 4-minute commute on 33 between 42 to 161. And for our friends in Madison County, looking great, 70 eastbound between 42 to 270. That's a 13-minute commute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
View. In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, the Fan. All your favorite Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls. And America.
I hate it, hate, hate.
Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
By the way, we got a tweet from MWS that said, hey, about that the Reds home run that was taken off the board yesterday. He wasn't called out. Ground rule double. T-Bone, get your facts straight before running your big mouth.
That's my bad, actually.
No, no, no. You know what? I'm going to say no. I'm not going to get my facts straight. I'm going to do my best to get it right, but I'm also going to tell you I'm an idiot and you should know that by now. And I'll do my best. But sometimes I'm wrong. I'm just telling you. Also, I'm telling you about my friends at Comer and Cross. They can transform your garage with a gleaming new Comer and Cross garage floor. Maybe your garage floor has exposed concrete with stains and cracks or a bad epoxy or paint job. Maybe you tried to fix those before and it didn't work because of the bad epoxy or paint job. Now that stuff is peeling up. Well, you never have to worry about that with Comer and Cross. Their floor is guaranteed to never chip, crack, or show tire lift like epoxy or paint. It's the gold standard when it comes to garage floors. And now you can get them to take 50% off installation when you call Comer and Cross today at 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. That's right, 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. 50% off installation of your new garage floor. They'll come in one day, take everything out of your garage, put down this new product. It'll fix all those issues with your garage floor, even the ones you tried to fix before. And then after that, you won't have to worry about it because it's guaranteed. Comer and Cross, 1-800-NEW-FLOOR, 50% off installation right now, or comercross.com. Tyvus, are you a fan of the fact that Notre Dame gets to dip its toe into the ACC when it's convenient for them, and then conveniently not be in the ACC when they don't want to be in the ACC?
No.
I'm not either.
But this is the way that all of college football allows them to live. If they really, if it really was a big deal to conferences, all they would do is just not schedule them, not put them on a schedule. As a Power Five or Four, whatever the heck we calling it, we all have come together and said we are not scheduling Notre Dame. So good luck playing FCS schools and stuff like that. Right. And if that happened, Notre Dame would be like, well, we got to join a conference like that. That's all it would take.
I still feel like
Notre Dame wants to do it.
I feel like Notre Dame wouldn't. They would do like they did last year.
Then you won't be in the playoffs.
With the bowl game where they were just like, no, we're not going to play then. And it's like, oh, okay. Did anybody miss them, by the way?
No.
I didn't. I don't think anybody missed them whatsoever.
This ain't the 80s. Like, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Life goes on without Notre Dame. 100%
agree with you on that. But here is what apparently is going on. So Notre Dame's relationship with the ACC has always been a little bit rough because of that, right? Where, what do they play, like five conference football games a year? Correct. In the ACC? And then, but they're not in the ACC playoffs. Their championship game, they don't participate in that. But they also don't, they have a carve out with the college football playoffs that is different from the ACC. Like, what happened last year will not happen this year with them. Because if they're ranked, I forget what it is, like
if they're ranked in the top 12, they'll automatically
in, no questions asked. And that's never whatever. If we go to 24, they're probably getting in every year anyway, right? Unless they have a severely down year. But I saw that apparently an anonymous AD was talking to On3, and I believe Brett McMurphy was the guy who had this, that the anonymous AD said this, quote, "There's a widespread perception that we're all getting used," talking about the other ACC athletic directors, "and we're sick of it." Now, big talk from an anonymous AD, you know, off the, you know, on background, essentially, not giving his name, but I wonder how long it takes before that becomes on the record and that becomes more prominent, because we've heard rumblings about this, but to your point, Tyvus, what will anybody actually do about it? Anybody going to step up and actually say, all right, never mind, Notre Dame, you can't be in the ACC anymore?
No. No, not at all. And then didn't you the one that told me that they got like a thing where if they ranked in the top 12 or something, they automatically get into the CFP?
Yes, like 30 seconds ago.
Didn't tell you that.
Did you say that to me?
Yes, we did.
We were just talking about it.
I was in the chat, so I didn't hear you.
I know. I heard you typing. Yes, I got it.
So, yes, that's with that clause, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Tyvus, weren't you just telling me that in the ACC they have a clause that it doesn't matter? Is that what you were just saying? I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, so I know that they participate in the ACC in like basketball and other sports, obviously.
Pretty much every other sport,
they're in the ACC.
Except for, I think, in like hockey, they're in the Big Ten.
I just feel like...
Are they in the ACC again this season?
Yeah, they're all... I mean, they're in the ACC in every other way.
I thought they got to pick and choose.
They just, on football, they get to have the scheduling, whatever that is, agreement, where they'll play five ACC teams every year, or six, or whatever the number is.
It's five.
Okay, yeah. It's five.
And then they map out the rest of the schedule with other
things. They're the only, that's the only sport there where they get to do that. So imagine, again, if Ohio State wanted to do a version of this and just say, yeah, we're in the Big Ten for every other sport. When it comes to football, I mean, we'll schedule Michigan, and you could throw in a couple other, schools we like to play.
Put the USC game back on there.
So they're trying.
Don't they? So right now, currently, they're not playing 12 games. They're only playing 11?
I'm sure. No, they'll have 12 games. They want
to revenue from it. But right now, currently, if the schedule was to come out, they would now have 11 games.
I don't know what they've done to fill that.
Because of the USC, I'm sure they scheduled somebody.
They've probably already taken care of that.
So if they schedule USC, they just go cancel the other one?
I don't think that'll be a thing for this year.
It's not going to be for this year. They will not play that game. I would be shocked if both of them can work their schedules out to do that at this late in the game. But there is a rumbling that USC and Notre Dame are going to go back to the negotiating table and try to figure out a way to get this back on the schedule, which, good. I don't understand why they couldn't figure this out earlier so that they didn't have to miss any of these games. I mean, I know what the reasoning was. What was it that USC, I think, said we want to play it at the, we still want it to be on the date
that it's
already.
Somebody wanted to play it earlier. And
yes.
So if they lost, it didn't matter.
Yes, and I can't remember if that was, I feel like that was USC's position, and Notre Dame's position was like, no, we don't want to move off that date. And now whoever was inflexible on that now has said, okay, maybe we could move off the date. Let's just try to get the game on the schedule. So either way,
that's a dumb reason.
I don't know why college football bends itself around backwards to try to make Notre Dame happy, because literally, like, I'm telling you, I know Notre Dame fans don't feel this way, but I think if you took a poll of most college football fans and said, do you care if Notre Dame continues to play football or not? 95% of college football fans would say, nah, I don't care. Don't care about all this stuff that they want carved out for them. They always want exemptions. They all want extra rules for them. Oh, we didn't get in the playoffs. We're not going to go to a bowl game. Great. You're spoiled brats. I don't need you. Go play in Division III. Have fun.
Have you seen the teams that they play in this year?
Notre Dame. I haven't looked at their schedule.
It's pretty typical.
It's a
cupcake.
Man.
We got 30 seconds. Tell me.
Wisconsin, Rice, Michigan State, Purdue, North Carolina, Stanford, BYU, Navy, Miami, Boston College, SMU, Syracuse. Out of that, they got what? Two games?
Two.
Maybe.
Yeah. BYU and Miami.
BYU and Miami are the two, yeah. And that's, jeez.
And they could easily,
they're going to be in the playoffs every year for the rest of eternity if they have schedules like that. Good God. And I don't need them. I don't care. I know they're big ratings. I know the people who do care are the people who make money off the ratings. But like for the rest of us as college football fans, I don't need it. I did not grow up in an era where Notre Dame was great. I grew up in an era where Regis Philbin was on the sidelines at Ohio Stadium getting interviewed. And while he's getting interviewed, you had, I think it was Terry Glenn taking one back to the house right behind him. And he's just like, oh, what's your final answer? Oh, no. Like, it was great. Like, they've sucked since I've been alive. And look at me. I have gray hair in my face. Like, I'm just saying, that's not a team that's relevant to me for most of everything. Now, I know the last few years they shot back up there, but... No, I don't need. They don't make the sport
anymore.
I don't care.
Last year,
although know that
they should have, but that's a whole nother story.
I'm just saying, yes, the last few years they finally achieved something that gave them relevance again. But they've been living off a 40, 50 year old reputation that really hasn't been deserved.
That's true.
And now suddenly they're back relevant for a couple years, and they get all. They think they're this big part of it, and I just don't.
There's a Marshall or Northern Illinois lurking on their schedule. They'll lose to someone like that.
they did. Yeah, you're right. They've done that the last couple of years. All right, Ohio State's uniforms have been fully restored to their former glory. We'll discuss it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching that crash for you on the south side of Columbus, 71, affecting that northbound ramp to 70 east. Expect some lane closures this morning. Really, that right shoulder is currently blocked out there. But the backups, not looking too good on this Thursday morning. We're talking all the way towards 71 and Frank Road. Folks, if you can, taking 23 or High Street to get downtown, that northbound direction. From there, you can head back eastbound on 70. Definitely avoid 71 northbound coming in from the south side, at least as of right now. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers trailed the Detroit Pistons by 9 points with less than 3 minutes left in the game in Game 5 last night. However, the Cavs found a game to force OT and eventually win 117-113. James Harden had 30 points in the victory, and the Cavs now lead the series 3-2. Game 6 from Cleveland tips off tomorrow night at 7. On the diamond, the Guardians beat the Angels 4-2, completing a 3-game sweep. The Guards have the day off today before hosting the start of the Ohio Cup versus the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. And speaking of the Reds, they dropped their second straight to the Washington Nationals 8-7. They'll try to avoid the sweep this afternoon. First pitch is at 12:40 over on the Fan 2. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
All right, so the reason that I was ignoring T-Bone last segment is because I was talking to Tim in the chat, and Tim joined late, but he caught the Josh Allen, my whole Josh Allen thing segment.
You think Josh Allen stinks?
I don't think he stinks. Hang on. That's not what how could I think he stinks if I got him fifth in top five? Out of 32 quarterbacks, I ranked him fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes, so I don't think he stinks.
We had the list, top five quarterbacks now in the NFL. That's where this all started.
Yes, if you missed it, go download.
7 o'clock hour.
Download T-Bone and Tyvis wherever you get your podcast, or take this YouTube and take that bar and scroll it back an hour, and boom, you'll see it.
Yeah, I had Josh Allen as one, and Tyvis scolded me.
Yes, I did. And as I'm sitting here, so the issue that I'm having with the Josh Allen fans is that y'all are lying to yourselves. Y'all don't want to admit that he's good, but he has terrible performances at times. For example,
we are talking all about top five quarterbacks here. No one is denying he's a top five quarterback.
Not at all. Right. I've never said he wasn't. I literally have him on there. But let's literally look at his last performance. His last performance in a game was against the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And the argument is his defense, he had no defense. Oh, his defense let him down. He was sensational. This man had 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, and he had 2 fumbles that he lost. Mm-hmm. That's 4 total turnovers by a quarterback. The only quarterback that had 4 turnovers and went on to win a game is Cardale Jones, and he got lucky because he had me with him. That's the only reason that happened. But outside of that, sit here and tell me that it's just the defense. He himself is exactly what I said. He's going to dig a hole and then try to do this heroic thing to dig himself out of the hole. And sometimes it works, and a lot of people love that. But you can't deny the fact, against the Denver Broncos, where he should have been the opponent, he was the team that was favored. Everybody said that he had the most pressure going into this. It was wide open. It was destined for the Bills. And that's the performance you get. And then on top of that, you can't say he had a ton of help. James Cook, really good running back, 24 carries, 117 yards. It wasn't like he was out there just trying to do it by himself. He had other pieces that actually showed up and showed out for him. He is the reason why they lost the game. I don't know why that's so hard to believe.
When people point out the defense, and I think this is what the guy pointed out in the YouTube chat, it's more about that game. Have you ever seen
the one 2 years ago when they lost to the Chiefs to a coin toss?
It wasn't a coin toss. It was the fact that the defense let the Chiefs offense get in field goal range with 11 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
That's malpractice. Okay,
that's fine, but that
this
was
should not
that
even
was,
come down to a coin toss.
That was an
But this is what I don't understand. You will sit there and say that it's the defense. The Chiefs defense was terrible too. It kind of cancels each other out. Both defenses were terrible because in the same breath, the Chiefs went down there and scored, and Josh Allen hit Gabe Davis in like 15 seconds and scored, and everybody was, oh. So now when the Chiefs do it, now the defense is terrible. And it's like, what are you talking about? The Bills literally just did the same thing. See, why is it an argument for one but not the other? It makes no sense. Josh Allen. It is what it is.
You want to bring up Josh Allen's last game, all the other quarterbacks on your list besides Matthew Stafford, how did their last games go?
Well, Patrick Mahomes got hurt in his last game. Joe Burrow lost to the Browns.
Okay.
So shout out to Myles Garrett for getting the record in that game. Lamar, I don't even know what Lamar
he was hurt at the end of the year, too, wasn't he?
Lamar was hurt at the end of the year.
What is this argument?
I don't get this argument.
Look at his last game against the Broncos.
But here's the thing. We have
he was in the playoffs when it mattered. The rest of them
weren't. Why not? Wait, hang on. Let me ask you this. If I don't even want to go with Joe Burrow, but like Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes has won Super Bowls. Lamar Jackson hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl.
Matt Stafford has won a Super Bowl.
Lamar Jackson, though, has two MVPs, right? So, like, all those guys have other things we can point to and say they've done this, they've been there, done that. They've had other things that have hampered them, like in Joe Burrow's case, his defense legitimately has let him down. His body being injured has let him down, and that's fair. You can bump him down further on the list. That's fine. But I go to the Pat Mahomes thing. If you put Pat Mahomes on the Bills offense that he's had, that Josh Allen has had to work with all these years, I don't know that Pat Mahomes has ever lost a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying Josh Allen has had a better running game, better wide receivers for the most, actual wide receivers, number one. They got him guys. No,
they got him a guy.
That's more than what the Chiefs ever do when it comes to wide receivers. Now they have obviously had a tight end for him.
And Patrick Mahomes' initial run.
Okay, and the Bills have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
And he also had Travis Kelce. You're going to compare Travis Kelce to Dawson Knox and whoever the hell the other
Put some respect on his name.
The fact that Josh Allen had, especially this year, everything open up for him. And in that game that you're talking about,
Josh Allen had a running game. Let's play that game. Give me the Chiefs running back. I'll wait.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Isaiah Pacheco.
I'm just saying, in most other arguments about this stuff, people would say, oh man, well, that guy didn't get it done because he didn't have a running game, and they just teed off on the quarterback. And I think that would be a argument in Josh Allen against Josh Allen is he has had a running game. Part of it is him. I mean, he does create that, I'll give you, but so does his running back. So has his offense. And that guy, I think, Tyvus, you said it best. He got his coach fired this year.
Oh, 100%.
If you're not firing Sean McDermott, you can argue whether or not they should have done that anyway, but they're not doing that if he wins that game. If they go down and figure out how to win that game, he's still the head coach. So we can continue to have this debate on and on until the end of next season and beyond.
People making it sound like I say he a bum. I just say he didn't get the job done. It was wide open for him.
Why does Joe Burrow deserve to be ranked over Josh Allen?
Because when healthy and overcoming the fact, I agree with that. I agree with it. I'm just saying Josh Allen, I think, has had health
because
has had all these other things. And yet he has none of the excuses all these other guys have for not getting the job done. He doesn't have.
Because if the game is on the line, I trust Joe Burrow to get it done more than Josh Allen.
There you go.
That's ultimately the real reason. The only person that I trust more than Josh Allen to get it done. I mean, not Josh Allen. Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes.
I'd agree with that, too. Yeah. But I don't trust Josh Allen to get it done at the end of the game.
You can't really deny it.
That's the fun of this debate. By the way, we also had someone going off in the chat about how we should have had Dak Prescott on there, which I
thought Dak Prescott get past the first round.
That's
then we'll have that debate.
The same conversation we had about hilarious.
Dak Prescott should be in your top five. Sure. Okay.
Coach Beer said, all right, I'm switching up, Tyvus. I'm convinced Josh Allen is overrated. I never said that. He's top five for sure. I'll give him that.
Ohio State's uniforms fully restored to their former glory. They have the heritage stripes, the now silver, but previously gray stripes. I love that they're silver now. I think that looks even cooler. But they put those back on the homes, the aways, the alternates. They're all there. It's all done now. Never touch these uniforms again. Okay? Don't need. You can do alternate uniforms, one-off things with Nike, Pro Combat this or Vapor that, or I don't care what. I'm just saying, when it comes to the home and away jerseys, they are now perfect. Put them in. Encase them in carbonite and never touch them again. Leave them alone.
Since Ohio State is listening to fans and scratching the itch that people wanted for so long.
Yeah.
Was there a time, I don't know, because I can't think back far enough. Was there ever a time where Ohio State and the Wolverines played wearing their dominant colors? Ohio State wore scarlet and they wore their maize and blue?
You are scratching me where I itch, my friend. Because
did that ever happen?
I don't know. It probably has at some point. I have long advocated that there should be no home and away jerseys when it comes to Ohio State and Michigan. But your home colors and their home colors, I like that. I like the the full color games or whatever you want to call
color
that.
Color on color.
Yes. Like I've said that Ohio State when they play UCLA. It should be their powder blues versus Ohio State scarlet and grays. Like, yes, do that game. There are some uniforms that are iconic and great. I don't know why we have to have white uniforms all the time. Although, I admit, the cocaine whites are great. We like
the whites are good.
Thank you, Ryan Day. I'm just saying that's fine. But for me, I like them to be. I'm 100% on board with that, Tyvus. If we could have that happen, I would be for that. Totally.
Well. That's the next thing.
I saw somebody point out.
We got to talk. All we got to do is talk about it for 20 years and then it'll happen. Yeah.
I would just say the USC Ohio State game, that's going to be an elite combo this year. USC at home, Ohio State still wearing the whites, not wearing the scarlet, but that will be a pretty good combo too when those two square off because that'll be on the road.
But USC and UCLA is the only ones that they wear their dominant colors in that one, right?
Yeah. They do it in football and men's basketball.
See, then if they do it, then
they should. That looks good. More teams should do that. Please and thank you. How far is your favorite NFL team going to travel this year? We'll tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hello and good Thursday morning to you. Right now, if you're heading towards Dublin, keep this in mind. We are noticing a crash out there affecting that 270 westbound ramp to Avery Muirfield Drive. Lane closures are definitely expected out there as well as slower speeds and even backups. We're talking 31 miles per hour out there and looking at the backups as far back now over by that 270 and Sawmill Road area. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a quiet start to the day with a chilly temperature in the 30s and 40s. And then for this afternoon, partly sunny with highs in the mid to low 60s. For tonight, another chilly evening with lows down into the 30s and 40s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with temperatures a little bit warmer getting into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The only contraband hiding in Tybus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, it is tough out there, especially trying to make your dollar go further. We've seen gas prices are up. Everything is a little bit more expensive right now, maybe a lot more expensive, depending on what you're looking at. Maybe that's put you off of buying windows for your house, but you know you need them. You've been meaning to do it, and now you're trying to figure out if that's the right move for you. Well, if it is, one thing you should note is that experts say that windows, when you put them in your house, retain 80% of their value. That's good. It can help with your home values. Also can help with your energy efficiency in your house. But here's the best news. Window Nation is trying to help you get those windows at a better price. Buy four windows, get four free from Window Nation. That is the sale going on right now. You could replace all the windows in your home and get half of them for free. That's pretty good. Plus, you could get zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years with Window Nation. So check them out today. You can get them installed in a day, and Window Nation will come out, do the job. Fantastic job there. 20-point inspection on every window when they go to install it. 50-point inspection on every window before it even leaves the factory. So you're getting that, of course, and a lifetime warranty on all the windows from Window Nation. Right now, call or check them out. Get a fast free consultation at windownation.com. That's windownation.com to schedule your fast free consultation today.
You know how Wednesdays is my cheat day, right?
When it comes to your diet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you consider, is Chipotle cheating the diet?
I think it depends on what you get. Because if you get a bowl with no sour cream and no guacamole and like none of these high calorie options on it.
Well, the only high
That could be fairly healthy.
The bowl I get is, yesterday I got chicken, the new chicken.
The honey chicken.
Yeah, honey chicken.
The honey chicken, brown rice,
get the lettuce,
pico, hot sauce, sour cream.
You get beans?
A little sour cream.
No beans?
No beans.
Yeah, I'm a no beans guy on that too.
I'm not Puerto Rican.
I'm a no Chipotle guy now.
What? Oh, because you
got to have a baby.
I've had undercooked rice the past three times I've went there.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
But that order, is that considered unhealthy?
I don't think so.
So technically I'm not even cheating.
He is trying to get our blessing to go get Chipotle again today.
No, because yesterday I was sitting there, I got it for my wife, and she was like, "Was this really consider you cheating your diet?" And I start thinking like, nah, I guess not, huh?
Lauren's making a great point, which is you didn't cheat hard enough on the food diet. That's what I take away from that. Because she's like, I thought you were going to come back with two Big Macs and, you know, large fry, you know, all that stuff. Instead, you come back with a bowl from Chipotle.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying this that I'm a health expert. I am saying this as someone who has tried and failed like a million different diets and has obviously had his weight fluctuate significantly over his lifetime. Like, if you told me that was the order and I was eating that, I would presume I was on a weight loss journey if I was eating that Chipotle bowl. If you're getting all that wrapped up in a burrito and you're adding in, like, the queso or some guacamole or, like, oh, and give me the chips and some more queso, then I'm feeling like that's more of a cheat meal. If you add the chips, you add the queso specifically, like, that stuff adds to the calorie count, right? But yeah, getting what you said, other than the sour cream, I mean, that's the part of it that's probably like not as healthy, air quotes.
I got to figure out a new Wednesday meal, do you?
Yeah, go all, just call me. I'll tell you what to get. I got tons of ideas.
I did have Popeyes.
I was going to say Popeyes.
I got a bucket of chicken last night.
That's the way you do it.
I was going to recommend Popeyes, but you're two steps ahead of me.
This past weekend, I got the wrap. Because, you know, they, like, got the new wraps.
Yeah.
It was delicious. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm kind of tempted to go back and get another one.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Some sweet and spicy wings are calling my name.
Shut up. Don't even. I rebuke you.
At Bone and Tyvus 971 every Thursday. I want that to be your new goal, is because his cheat day is Wednesday. Thursday, that's when you cheat us, like, at Tyvus as well.
Don't bring that
up. What about
up.
This meal? What about
chill.
That meal?
I just get chills just thinking about
pictures
it.
Pictures of the best meals you could think of to make him want to have to go do that.
I had cold sweats trying to shake that habit. Don't bring that up.
So I saw this that, you know, the gamblers among us may care about how much an NFL team travels, because that can affect, you know, all things being considered, right? Yeah, if you look at just the offense, the defense, the matchups, you could have, you know, some idea of how a game's going to go, right? But then if a team has a lot of extra travel, if there's rain, things like that can affect the line on a game, right? So a guy by the name of Bill Sparrows, who works for bookies.com.
My guy.
Oh, your guy. I was going to say, what's his name? Soresby down at Texas Tech. His guy too, I guess. Anyway, allegedly. He worked out all the mileage that all these NFL teams are going to travel this year. And you'll be shocked to find that the two teams with the largest travel bill are both the 49ers and the Rams. Why? Because they're playing the game in Melbourne, Australia this year, which of course adds significantly to their travel. The Niners will travel 38,105 miles this year, which is by far the most in the NFL.
They care about the players, though.
Yeah, they care about the players. That's right. They also care about that money to get an international game, growing the game, all that stuff.
Is this the first game in Australia?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. I believe that's right.
Who are they playing?
The Rams, who have the second most miles traveled. Rams have 34,847 miles that they will travel this year.
Mm.
For perspective, third and fourth on the list, the Texans and the Cowboys are each under 30,000 miles traveled. Like, the Texans are third at 28,470 miles traveled this year. Niners at 38,000. So 10,000 more miles that the Niners are traveling than the third most highest traveled team. So that seems to be kind of an issue there, right?
Man, when that game coming up on the schedule, I have an attitude like, man.
Yeah. Well, you'll be surprised, I'm sure not at all, to find that the teams that have international games are obviously a little bit higher on the list as far as the travel goes. Cowboys are fourth, Patriots are fifth at 27,000 plus miles traveled. But you scroll down looking at the rest of the top 10, I don't see either the teams that, you know, are in this state. I go down, and for the Bengals, this is good news. Even though they do have an international travel date, they are 24th on the travel docket.
Ain't going nowhere.
They travel 15,177 miles this year. So you would hope that means less fatigue, more rest, all the things that are supposed to be good for NFL teams, right? That would seem to bode well. But how about this for your Cleveland Browns, Tyvus?
31st.
Bang.
On the dot.
Bang. Double bang.
They really trying to give them the year, huh? They're trying to really help them out this year.
The Cleveland Browns will travel. I told you that the Niners are traveling 38,000 miles this year. The Browns are traveling 9,073 miles. Not even crossing over the 10,000-mile threshold.
It's the year, man.
They are one of two teams doing that. The other team, the lowest traveled team in the NFL this year, will be the Carolina Panthers, traveling 8,740 miles.
Nowhere.
So okay. You brought up degenerate gamblers, which kind of steals my thunder because I was going to ask Tyvus.
Take the over.
The Browns win. We already know that from you.
On okay. The win total?
We need to. Okay. I'm going to ask you about a team you played for, but I think you're still impartial. Number one on this list, San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, what about
win total? 10.5.
I don't know who are they playing.
Well, they're traveling.
They're traveling a lot. Do you think that this matters a lot is my question. And then based off your answer, I will probably take the under.
Does traveling matter? I think it just depends on when you travel.
Well, they're basically starting the year in Australia. Do you think that that's just going to set them up for failure combined with all this other travel they're going to be doing?
I don't think so. I never looked at it like that was a big deal. The only time that it was a big deal is when you crossing over to the different time zones. So, like, when I was in Seattle and we had to play, like, the Giants, like, if we didn't go 2 days early and we tried to go 1 day before the game, that was an epic failure because your body is all messed up. If you get 2 days to try to adjust and you do everything right, you'll be fine for the game. So, like, that was the only thing. So, it just depends on when they travel for these games. And if I'm in the NFL and I'm traveling far like that, I would imagine they're going to Australia for at least a week, right?
Yeah, I would think to do a bunch of, like, goodwill and promote the game, all that
stuff. There's no way that they're going out there for, like, 2 days. Like, that's crazy. Which I found out for the international games, a lot of teams do that. Like, they said, like, the Browns got to where they play, London?
I think that was the most recent. I forget where they played.
Yeah, I forget.
Recently.
Wherever they went, they left on like Friday and played Sunday. And I'm just, and then like the Rams,
I think
Rams
that's right.
like left Saturday and went Sunday. And I'm just like,
jeez.
I don't know. I wouldn't do that.
So the Niners and Rams are kicking off at, they're playing here. It's September 10th at 8:35 p.m. But remember, Australia is almost a day ahead. So they're going to be playing on Friday, Australia time, right? And then, after they're done, they're going to travel back across the international dateline and probably get back here sometime around like late Friday.
I mean, that's a lot.
So they will gain a day back from where they actually are. But on the NFL schedule, like for that whole thing, that means they'll basically get back from traveling, I'm guessing, by the Friday. Friday, September 11th is when they'll get back. Yeah, that's their week one. And then they don't play again until the next Sunday, presumably. You know what I mean? So they will get like a decent little bit of rest when they come back and then get to start a regular week. So it may be a wash. And obviously the Niners are playing the Rams. Both teams have to do that. You know, both of those teams have to go through that travel. It's where do you go after that? Like, are you on the road for week two? And if you're flying out to like play the Jets.
They should give them a home game. That's messed up.
I would think,
both of them ain't got a home game. That's messed up.
Well, both of them start out in a neutral site. So you would think they would want to like give both those teams a home opener the second week of the season. And then, yeah, you get on the road. But yeah, they have a lot of travel because I believe the Niners also go down to Mexico City for a game. So like they have a couple of those type of travel games. So kind of a difficult thing there for them. All right. Everyone is taking shots at Ole Miss. And now a prominent Ole Miss alum has come to the school's defense. You'll hear who in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, parts of that western outer belt are getting slower and slower on this Thursday. Right now, it's about a 7-minute commute on 270 by Hilliard between 33 to Roberts Road out there. And for our friends in Delaware County, a similar situation, pretty slow moving on 23 South between 36 and 270. That will take you about 15 minutes. Instead, if you can, definitely take 71 South to head out the door. 36 to 270, it's looking better at 12 minutes. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your cars.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tybus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tybus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tybus.
Tybus, are you familiar with the band 21 Pilots?
Yeah, they're from Columbus.
Yeah, they are. Do you know any of their songs?
No, but they have. If you play one, I definitely know it because I can remember a time riding in the car with my wife and like the song is playing and I see on the thing it says 21 Pilots. So I know of their song. I just can't
identify the name. Would it be the song Ride?
I'm not. I don't.
That one's good. It's taking my time on my ride. That's like the whole chorus.
I got to hear the whole thing. Right, I got to hear it.
Sing the whole thing, Ben.
I don't need him to sing. I need to hear the beat and everything.
You need someone to actually sing it, not me. But yeah,
I'm familiar with some of their work.
Stressed Out, very good. Heathens, very good. Like, they got a ton of great songs. Anyway, I saw that all this week they had been posting, there are like little posters and stuff up on venues around Columbus that said it had their logo on it and it said from here, you know, because they're from Columbus.
Yes.
And they've played, but they had like one at the Basement, which is like the smaller venue over there by the arena. Like I've been to shows at the Basement. They've played shows at the Basement when they were first starting out. Very cool to see them, you know, paying some homage to that. But then people are like, are they going to play a show at the Basement? These guys have played like arenas. How are they going to play that? Right. And they had all around town, they had been doing this all week. So yesterday in the rotunda at the Shoe, they had a projected light thing up there that said, you know, it had been saying from here.
Mm-hmm.
Then it said on the Shoe, it said to here. And then it said 1017. So it appears 21 Pilots is playing the Shoe on October 17th.
1017, Brick Squad.
Oh, sure. That's what I thought too.
He gonna bring up Gucci Mane.
Yeah,
and sure. Waka Flocka.
That's exactly what I thought.
They'll never be together again.
Glad we're all on the same page with this.
1017 Brick Squad is Gucci's like thing.
Oh, well, it's okay. Good. It's Gucci's thing.
Like 21 Pilots tried to use a develop here, and then Ohio State sued the hell out of them, and then they had to change it.
Yeah, that is, for what it's worth, that is a bye week. So like the stadium is open. I had to, you know, double check that, but that is a bye week. So yeah, there you go. So it appears that 21 Pilots is playing a show at the Shoe, and I'm very excited about that. I would probably go to that concert. My oldest daughter, who is also a big 21 Pilots fan, she's going to be out of town that week. I just saw on our calendar. I was like, ah, I was thinking I was get tickets. And now my middle daughter loves them too. So she'll probably get to go, but yeah, we got to figure that one out.
By the way, Tyvus, I don't know why I'm the one telling you this, but you've seen 21 Pilots live. Cause you went to the stadium series, right?
For the hockey game.
I was there.
They played in one of the intermissions.
I'm assuming the first one.
But I can't remember if it was the first or second, but they played one of the intermissions. Yeah,
like I said, I'm familiar. I just can't like identify the songs off the top of my head.
I'm just letting you know you've pretty much been to a 21 Pilots concert before
in the Shoe,
and you don't even remember.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna play it again, but this time no hockey game. It appears it'll just be them playing. So,
well,
yeah.
There are some people that believe that the hockey game was just interrupting a 21 Pilots concert.
That's fair.
I mean, hey, everybody's got their own things they like.
I know.
It's all good.
People that were complaining that people were like literally like it's this historic sports event. And there are people that just went to see 21 Pilots and then they went home afterwards.
I'm still shocked. I wouldn't have done that. Obviously, I want to see both of those things are cool. I don't know how, if you're already at a hockey game, why you wouldn't just stick around and watch the rest of it.
It was freezing cold.
It was packed.
Yeah.
Like, it was. Even the top, like C deck. I was in the press box and I was like, wow.
Well, that's how
why were you in the press box, Tyvus?
Because I went with Baker.
Oh, okay. Because you're not a member of the media?
No, I went with Baker. I was with Baker.
Stop it.
I was with Baker.
Stop it. That, yeah, I'm just saying, like, I remember the NHL was very freaked out about, well, could we actually sell out the shoe with an NHL? Yes, you can.
Idiots.
If you put it here, fans will come. This is a good sports town. Everybody seems to gloss over that fact because it's not in the NHL. It's like, oh, you're not an original six. Oh, you're not in Canada. Oh, well, who cares? Those teams all suck. Not all of them. Some of them suck. I'm just saying. Not all of them suck. Some of them suck. This is about Ole Miss. They've had shots fired from everywhere, right? You had Lane Kiffin talking about how he couldn't win there because apparently everybody's racist at Ole Miss, which I don't know. Could be true. Lane Kiffin probably isn't the vehicle for that, but whatever. You had Steve Sarkisian. Specifically, that one's interesting to me because he said, yeah, you can go there and get basket weaving. You can go get a degree. Not like here at Texas where you actually have to go to class. And his star quarterback, Arch Manning, most everyone in his family, if I last checked correctly, went to and graduated from Ole Miss.
Correct.
So that was a little bit of an interesting shot to take at your star players. No, but
his father, his dad went there,
his uncle, his grandfather, they all went there.
Well, I just wanted to point out Peyton didn't.
No, that's Peyton didn't. That's okay. I'm just saying a lot of other people in his family did. Well, Archie Manning did stand up for his alma mater. He spoke to Chris Lowe of On3 and said, without naming anyone, said, quote, I'm very proud of my school. My school had to make changes years ago and did. Presumably that's talking about the racial issues there. He said, I know so many people who send their kids to Ole Miss that have a great experience. It's my school and always will be. So whether that was addressing Lane Kiffin or Steve Sarkisian or both.
All I would say is that with the Lane Kiffin thing, the only thing I would say is that I have not heard of any players as of the past 10 years. I would say that said anything, there hasn't been any issues in the last 10 years that I don't think, at least I haven't, it ain't came across my desk.
Okay.
So like when he says that, it's kind of like, are you talking historically? Are you talking about this still going? Like, obviously it's probably incidents that's probably going on, but it hasn't been to the, maybe not to the magnitude. I mean, I just felt like even here, you probably still see some stuff like that. Like, that's everywhere.
Well, because racism exists.
Correct.
Everywhere. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's going to happen, but like, is it like a big thing like that? Or is it
sure
just like a couple of incidents here and there, which that's pretty much everywhere.
Well, you said in the past 10 years, you haven't heard anything. Well, it's only been 13 years since Mississippi has abolished slavery legally. So
is that real?
That is. That is 2013.
So what are we celebrating Juneteenth for?
I think because they were made to at gunpoint by the army, where everyone was like, you can try, but then we'll come in and invade and not let you do that. But yeah, that's insane that that wasn't taken off the books earlier in a state like Mississippi. Now, I know for a fact that there have been plenty of incidents of racism, I'm sure, at Ole Miss and plenty of other Southern schools and schools in general, like you said, Tyvus. I would just point out that, like, maybe Lane Kiffin is hearing those stories. Maybe, like, I don't deny that there are probably people, like, a lot of what he was pointing out, if you missed his comments, he said, kids would say, my parents said, you can go there. I'm not going to your games. I don't want to go to that state. Grandparents would say, I don't trust going to that state because of, you know, things they witnessed firsthand. All of that seems like that's in the realm of possibility, right? I just don't understand how Lane Kiffin brings that up in an interview, because it, like, when the interview question was, why did you leave to go to LSU? And he's like, well, I got to be honest. And bringing up that when you've clearly left other jobs for less of a reason than that. You know what I mean?
Also, like, if your principles are so strong, why did you go there to begin with?
That's what I want to know.
I think that's a great point.
That's what I want
to
know.
It almost feels like he's trying to use anything he can to justify his behavior. And I don't like it when people co-opt actual struggles for their own benefit.
They should just
people who have had nothing to do with that actual struggle, like Lane Kiffin, now co-opting that for their own benefit to say, actually, I'm kind of a saint here.
Again.
I was on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, essentially. That's what I was. And it's like, you don't need to bring that up, Lane Kiffin. You don't need to pretend like that's the reason that motivated. Maybe it privately did, but to throw that out there, then why did you leave Tennessee? Why, you know what I mean? Like, why'd you leave all these other jobs that you've left? Was it also because of that, or because you just found a better opportunity? LSU seems like a better opportunity for him.
I honestly, he should just come out and just say, like, it's easier to sell LSU to the kids than Ole Miss. That's real. Like, if I'm a young high school kid and they say, would you rather go to LSU or Ole Miss? I'm going to say probably LSU because I want to go to the NFL. Not saying that Ole Miss don't get guys in the NFL, but LSU got a better track history of it. So I don't, it's as simple as that. I don't know why he just don't say that. Like, well, it's understandable. I get it. We all get it.
I don't live down there. I also can't imagine that, like, Louisiana is far better on that track record of, you know, issues with race. I can't imagine that it's like far superior to Mississippi. Both have probably had a very tough history there. That's all. But yeah, Archie Manning came out and defended Ole Miss and said, I don't know where this is all coming from, but I still support Ole Miss, I guess. So who can blame him for that? We'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now, we are looking at one crash on our roads, and it's happening as you're heading towards Dublin. It's affecting that 270 westbound ramp to Avery Muirfield Drive. Lane closures are certainly expected out there. Slowdowns to 34 miles per hour for your speeds. The backups now extending, even passing 270 and 315. That's closer towards that Worthington area, just to give you an example. About a 6-minute delay for your commute this morning, so if you can get off 270, take 315 southbound, and from there just take 161 westbound all the way towards Dublin and even Plain City. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your.com.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept! And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world, available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, a man who holds many titles, but the most important one is that he is Melani Joe Powell's godfather. Joshua Perry joins the program. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Mike.
You've been doing afternoons too long.
By the way, Tyvus already has his like backpack on. Why don't you just go ahead and leave and let Joshua sit in the second chair?
Yeah, what's happening
you
here?
Apparently have somewhere more important to be.
Well, I had this backpack on because old Fishy was in here and he was telling me that I have a purse. And I told him, no, this is a backpack. So I took it and clipped it so it's a backpack. So I'm showing everybody this is my book bag.
So this is like you on the first day of school.
Correct.
You're showing off your book
bag. My new book bag.
What kind of book can you fit in there? Like a chick track? Like the little tracks they give you?
That's got length and girth.
I don't know about all that. I guess you're right. There's a lot of different sizes.
And he is the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk.
Thank you. That's a different Hugh Freeze, my guy. Just always had a way with words. It all Hugh Freeze. JP, do you care to weigh in on the quarterback discussion we've been having today? We did our top five quarterbacks now in the NFL. And Tyvus, I think you had Josh Allen fifth?
Fifth.
Okay. Fifth! And I think I had him fifth or fourth. Dylan had him first.
Number one.
Numero uno. And so that's caused some debate among the YouTube chat and other places, and that has leaked over onto the show. Tyvus is obviously not saying that Josh Allen is bad, but not exactly.
No, somebody also said that Josh Allen is a healthier Lamar Jackson. So if I think Lamar is great, Josh Allen is better because he's available. Lamar is number four on my list. So good. Let's flip it. For his sake, good. Josh Allen's fourth, Lamar's fifth. Still not number one.
All right. So I'm more toward Tyvus when it comes to this than putting him at number one. And I was listening to the debate. I think you made all the salient points. For me, first off, like we judge a lot of these guys off of what they do in the postseason, their ability to win championships, and I get it, some of the quarterbacks he's had to run into in the past, but this past year to me was like it's served up to you on a silver platter and you still cannot take advantage of the championship opportunity that you had. And then to me, too many turnovers, a little bit too much hero ball, and some points like he's a phenomenal player to watch. There are a lot of tools. There are a lot of skills, but it feels like a lot of sizzle and not as much steak as I would prefer.
Yeah. Well, you say he had it on a silver platter, but that's because Joe Burrow Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson weren't even sitting at the table.
Yes.
If he
let a whole bunch of guys who weren't on the list, like, do it. And he didn't.
Thank you.
He should get criticized for making the playoffs when those other three guys didn't?
No, he should get criticized for being the number one quarterback in the NFL who is just unbelievable in the playoffs and not still find a way to lose to Bo Nix. That's why.
And Bo Naylor.
I'd love Bo Nix. And Bo Naylor, too.
He probably will lose to Bo Naylor, too.
Yeah, that's right.
But he loses to Bo Nix. Like,
yeah.
Who some people don't even consider top 15?
No, if you said that going into that, he would have to go through Bo Nix and Drake May would be like some of the guys that would provide resistance to him. Like that, not the guys who we named that are all like top five quarterbacks otherwise, then I think, most people would say, oh, well, then this is going to be the year Josh Allen gets it done, and he didn't.
Put it to you this way. If this was the Chiefs, do you think Patrick Mahomes would have got through all of it?
He didn't make the playoffs, though.
I'm saying.
Maybe they should have made the playoffs.
I'm saying is if this was the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes didn't have to play Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, do you think that the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl?
No, because they didn't even make the playoffs. So therefore, why am I going to guarantee that they would have won a playoff game against the Broncos?
This man's crazy.
That's fine.
This man's crazy.
I like the debate.
So let me get this right.
This is lawyer time. I have to figure this out
because I want to make sure that I'm hearing him correctly.
The
quarterback that's number one in his book,
uh-huh,
who Patrick Mahomes has beat every time they played in the playoffs,
uh-huh,
he wouldn't beat these guys?
Yeah, because his team wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. So why am I going to guarantee that they're going to win a playoff when they couldn't even get there?
I just want to point out, I had an epiphany a few weeks ago where I saw a therapist talking about how people who have ADHD and ADD love to argue. And I even told you, Tyvus, I was like, oh, this explains a lot about me, because I can argue stuff for like 4 hours straight and then be like, let's go again. Like, I can argue. I love it. I love the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Tyvus, we got to get diagnosed is all I'm saying, because it's like, because we do a lot of rabbit trailing. We do a lot of like zigging and zagging. And now we're doing a lot of arguing about this. I like it. Dylan, maybe you too. I don't know. I'm just saying. We all like to argue on this show about pointless things.
Real quick. The last six games.
There we go. I got him. I'm not a therapist, but Dylan, I think we can. You got the Adderall subscription ready to go. The prescription and subscription, both. You got him right there waiting for you. Go ahead.
Finish your last six games. Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders. Lost all of them.
Uh-oh.
I don't understand.
There's only two playoff teams there.
Okay. I don't
understand.
They
could have made the playoffs if they were just better in the regular season. Because I think it's stupid that people are like, Josh Allen, he should have beat all these quarterbacks that he's superior to. That's because his peers didn't even make the playoffs.
That's what makes this so bad for Josh Allen.
That was the whole thing.
I think that's the part that you're missing.
I feel like we were preparing for the playoffs, and immediately I'm like the ESPN First Take guys. I'm just cooking up narratives, and I'm like, wow, the pressure's on Josh Allen.
Yeah,
look at the path that he has.
Look at
and
that.
Then he tricked it off.
Yeah, absolutely. And his coach got fired up. Now,
and he's sitting here telling me that a quarterback that's didn't he go to three straight Super Bowls?
Who are we talking about?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
You're telling me that if he was in Josh Allen's shoes this season, that he wouldn't have made it to another one?
I don't believe in ring culture.
That's ludicrous.
So you bringing up that his teammates don't matter.
You're conning yourself.
Let's turn the page.
All I know is that if you missed any of this robust discussion, it's all available for you on the podcast brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. You can find it all by searching T-Bone and Tyvus on your favorite podcast app. What's coming up on the show today, JP?
Well, we're going to talk some of the news in college football coming out of the conference meetings. There are a lot of it's talking season, so there's a lot to dig into. NFL schedules coming out. I think schedule release is super overrated, but we're going to get into some of that. And then Paul Feinbaum, 10:30, if you want to hear him.
There you go. Any top five quarterback discussion? Do you want to run that back again? Because, I mean, if you want to. I got two guys here who are itching to continue.
Oh, I'm sure they
Guess
are.
Guess what's going to happen out here? As soon as we end the microphones, we're going to go out there, and it's going to be 10 more minutes.
No, Tyvus has got his backpack on.
He's ready to go.
Right. I'm done with Dylan until tomorrow.
Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on the Fan.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
I saw this study. It's showing the effects of teenage alcohol consumption.
Oh, boy.
Like, not the effects, but how much of it has occurred. And apparently, this is very good news. Family studies ask this question to high schoolers every year since 1976 to now, so 50 years. Have you ever had any alcoholic beverage to drink more than just a few sips? That's the question they get asked. In 2026, the answer is 47% said yes. That's less than half. That's relatively speaking good, because going back, that's the lowest it's been in 50 years. Going back to 1976, the number on that question was 92%. And I'm just going to say, I did not know.
Oh my God.
My parents' generation was that sloshed. Like, I had no idea. 92% of alcohol of kids in high school back in the 70s said, oh, yeah, I drink alcohol. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Snuck a beer.
No idea.
Snuck a little beer.
I wasn't doing it.
No, me either. That's it for us. Bishop and Friends is next. Have a great Thursday. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing some slowdowns as you're heading downtown, especially by that 71 and 670 split. Just a lot more cars on the roads with you. At least better for our Southeast Columbus area. We're talking just outside of Canal Winchester, 33 in that westbound direction. Only a 5-minute commute. Not too bad between Gender Road to 270. And for our friends traveling northbound from 670 to 270, both a 10-minute commute for taking 71 north and even 315 north. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Traffic. Have a great day.